is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! And a great run. He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it.
Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks.
Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown!
There's T-Mobile.
He gonna come through.
Sammy in the end zone. Got it! Got it! Touchdown! Sammy Watkins, touchdown, Buffalo!
McCoy, much to the right.
Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Start of a new week. Welcome to the show, the start of a new week of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Good afternoon. John Murphy and Donald Jones here to get ready on a new week, kind of a new era, Donald, with the GM in place. The head coach, obviously, has been in place for a couple of months now. And the front office, the scouting staff taking shape. It's kind of exciting this week. And OTAs start tomorrow.
OTAs, yeah. So we're back to football.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of getting off the side of, you know, firings and hirings and the corporate stuff. And now we get back to football. And that's what we all wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see some football being played, see who's improved in the offseason. You know, let's get this thing going in the right direction.
OTA start tomorrow, and we'll have complete coverage of that here on our show starting tomorrow and, of course, on our website, buffalobills.com. What does that mean? I know many of us kind of in a fog as to the different parts of the offseason, but OTAs are important, and each team is allowed to have, I believe, a total of 10 OTA sessions, right? 8? No, 10. 10 OTA sessions between now and the second week of June. And it's just an acceleration of what they've been doing on the field. And it starts tomorrow at 11 a.m. There'll be an open media session for the OTAs coming up on Thursday this week. So it's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday with the first 3 days of OTAs. And they start tomorrow, 10 OTAs over the next couple of weeks. And the rules, no pads, obviously. They just have knee and elbow pads, protective. No live contact, but they have 7-on-7, 9-on-7, 11-on-11 drills. No live contact. So up until now, Donald, it's just been offense versus air, defense versus air. When they get together as a group, starting tomorrow in OTAs, there is a competitive aspect to it.
Yeah.
No contact, no hitting, but it looks different when you see offense versus defense, whether it's 7-on-7 or 11-on-11.
It's going to be different than what they've done thus far. It's going to kick up a notch. You know, there are levels to what they're doing, and this is like, what, phase three of this offseason program? So it's definitely going to kick up a notch. The intensity is going to kick up. Now you have the rookies in place, and so these guys are out there trying to, you know, make their best impressions on their teammates and on this coaching staff and on, you know, the new GM and everybody involved. And so they're going to be going at it 1,000 miles an hour because, you know, they feel like I got to do everything I can do to make this team. As where the veterans are going to be like, you know, they're trying to improve as well. I mean, they're trying to improve. They're also trying to impress the new coaching staff. But at the same time, you're going to have some vets that are like, hey, man, just back off a little bit. And those rookies, if they know any better, don't back off. Never back off.
They had the 3-day rookie mini camp. The weekend mini camp went Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and got a chance to watch a little bit of that. And they look like rookies. They look pretty good. And the Bills have, you know, had some tryout players in here as well, about, I think, 15 to 20 tryout players to fill out the roster. We'll see if there are roster moves coming down the line as far as what they do with the rookies they had in here. They did make a move yesterday. So Brandon Bean is hired Friday. And Sunday, the Bills announced that they have hired an assistant general manager already. We talked a lot about how there was urgency to get going on some of these hires, and they didn't waste any time. Joe Shane is the new assistant general manager of the Buffalo Bills. He was here over the weekend and officially introduced yesterday. He comes from the Miami Dolphins. Joe Shane had been in the Dolphins front office for most of the last decade, the last 3 years as the Dolphins director of player personnel. Shane was a primary advisor to Dolphins GM Chris Greer on personnel matters. Spent some time in the college scouting department for the Dolphins. Was a national scout for the Dolphins for about 5 years. Joe Shane comes to the Buffalo Bills get a start with Brandon Bean in Carolina for about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
A scouting assistant, moved through the ranks to be national scout before he went to the Dolphins in 2008. Joe Shane joins the Bills as assistant GM, which we expect more hirings to come.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I remember last week when they hired Brandon Bean, and even before that, you know, we talked about before they hired Brandon Bean, it was like if they hire Brandon Bean, we know he had you know, some background in scouting. He did some years in scouting, and they said that he developed quickly in the scouting ranks. But, you know, we kept saying you're going to have some football people. You're going to have some, like, natural scouts, guys that have been really out on the road at the pro level and in the college ranks. And so that's what they went out. And I remember saying they're probably going to hire an assistant GM, you know, a guy that's done all of this stuff. And so they went out and they did that. And like you said, they're probably going to be some more – I mean, obviously they have to fill out the entire scouting department, but there might be some more people that have been kind of high up in the scouting department.
And more like boots on the ground, veteran scouts maybe coming down the pike. They do have some openings, obviously, and Brandon Bean talked about how that was one of his top priorities was getting that scouting staff filled out. So Joe Shane joins the Bills as assistant general manager. More moves to come, we anticipate, maybe sooner rather than later. All right. Now, as far as Brandon Bean, the Bills' new general manager, we're going to talk about him and statements he made today. We're also going to – well, let's let you know what's coming up on the show. As we said, the rookie camp is over, and one of those rookies who made a favorable impression was running back Jordan Johnson from the UB Bulls, product of Sweet Home High School. Jordan Johnson is going to join us here in studio at 12:30. He is in the off-season conditioning program right now, and he'll be in here at 12:30. Coming up at 1 o'clock, good friend of the show, Peter King. From Sports Illustrated and the mmqb.si.com. Peter King will join us at 1. He did a looked like a joint interview with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean over the weekend. We'll talk with him about that, get Peter King's impressions of this Buffalo Bills setup with the new GM and the coach in here for a couple of months now. Coming up at 2, our buddy Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, will join us here in studio to talk about what he saw over the weekend rookie minicamp.
Yeah. You know, I really want to start the show off by acknowledging one of our good friends, you know, and he's one of the best baseball players I've ever been around. Up and rising, like baseball coach. He's probably going to be one of the best baseball coaches in the Western New York area. I just want to say hi to Mark Honan. You know, it's just.
Are you sucking up to your boss here, though?
Nah, no raises. No raises. I'm not sucking up. I'm just messing with him because he would do the same thing to me.
Okay. All right. Hey, the phone line's open, and you're welcome to join us. Our Twitter poll is up, and let us know what you think of this. Brandon Bean this morning on Howard and Jeremy on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550, the general manager of the Bills, talked a little bit about, a lot about the entire operation, but he had some comments about Tyrod Taylor. Talked about open competition, which is interpreted by many as maybe some sort of shot at the Bills quarterback, Tyrod Taylor.
Right.
We want you to hear what Brandon Bean had to say. He talked about, Tyrod Taylor and does he have a lock on the starting job. And both Brandon Bean and the head coach, Sean McDermott, are very careful to, you know, encourage competition, as you might expect. Some people interpret that as saying that there might be somebody other than Tyrod Taylor starting a quarterback this September. Well, let's hear what you think. This is Brandon Bean this morning on Howard and Jeremy talking about the quarterback position and talking about Tyrod Taylor. This is Brandon Bean.
I'm new here. I met Tyrod the other day. Obviously, I've seen Tyrod on film. If we walked out there today, I would say Tyrod's probably the starter, but we haven't even gone through OTAs. We got the young guy, Peterman. I thought he did some nice things this weekend at the mini camp. Cardale Jones has a huge arm and talent. I don't know anything about him personally. TJ Yates has done some starting in his career. So there are some guys on this roster. You know, I'm for open competition. Sean is. Earn the right, you know, for whatever job you have, whatever position you're trying to get. So, you know, I'm not in the business of handing out positions, you know, on May the 15th. We got a long way to go. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about the challenge. So that's what I'm saying. I got a lot of belief in Tyrod, but, we got other guys that are going to challenge for that as well.
Brandon Bean talking this morning on Howard and Jeremy on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Open competition at every position. And the couple of quotes here, he said, I'm not in the business of handing out positions on May 15th, nor should he be. But is there any other viable candidate to be the starting quarterback for the Bills this September than Tyrod Taylor right now? I get it. You know, you might not be a Tyrod fan. We're going to talk about that. That's our Twitter poll. I understand that. And nothing I say will convince you either way, nor should it. But he's the most viable candidate on the roster, I believe. you know, I saw Nathan Peterman a little bit over the weekend. He's okay. Got a long way to go. Cardale Jones is not, I don't believe, ready to play. T.J. Yates has started in the league. I don't think he has anything on Tyrod Taylor. I guess I'm just confused. It's almost as if people interpret it that Brandon Bean opened the door for Tyrod Taylor to be replaced. And I guess my question is, replaced by whom?
Yeah. No, I don't think he's opening the door. What I think this is you have a new head coach, and everything that he's preached since he's been here has been competition. Like, we're guys, you have to earn the right to be a starter on this team. You have to earn the right to be on this team. And then you have a new GM now. First time, both of them first time, head coach and first time GM. They want to lay the line. This is what it is, you know. Just because you've been on this team, just because your contract might say X, does not mean that you are going to be the starter on this team. I mean, we don't really care who you are, what your name is. You have to come into to mini camps, OTAs, and then on through training camp and earn that right to be the starter. Now, I don't think he's opening the door, but he just wants this entire team to understand this is what it is, because I'm one of the new guys in charge, and this is how it's going to be moving forward. I don't care what your name is or what your contract says. You have to earn it every single year if you want to start on this team.
And that's the way it should be. And, by the way, I think Tyrod Taylor is probably as competitive a guy as you would find on this roster. He won a three-way competition for the job a couple of years ago. He won it fair and square. Mm-hmm. He was better than the other two in training camp a couple of years ago, won the job. So if it is an open competition, I think Tyrod Taylor is probably set up pretty well to win that. I just have a hard time thinking who it would be at starting quarterback if not Tyrod Taylor. And I get, you know, the people are not totally sold. But I'd like to hear more about that from you. And the phone lines are open, and our Twitter poll deals with this. Our Twitter poll today: what does Tyrod Taylor need to do to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback? What does he need to do in 2017 to need to prove to you that he is the guy? That's our Twitter poll. Does he need to win 10 or more games? Well, that's fair enough. Let's see. Does he need to have the Bills, one of the top passing offenses in the league, top half? They were 30th in the league in passing offense last year. Does he need to engineer some fourth quarter comebacks? He's done two, I believe, depending on how you define them, in a couple of years as a starter. Is there something else? Right now, the Twitter poll in its early stages, right now 57% of you, more than half, say Tyrod Taylor needs to win 10 or more games to prove that he's a franchise quarterback. 21% say he needs fourth quarter comebacks to prove that to them. 15% say he needs to get some passing offense in the top half of the league, 15 or better. 7% say something else. Give us a call on this. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Outside Buffalo, it's a toll-free call, 1-888-552-550. Or on the Twitter poll, what does Tyrod Taylor need to do to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback? What does he need to do this year? I think the Bills have the perfect contract for Tyrod Taylor to prove that he is the franchise quarterback. They're easily able to extricate themselves from the contract after this year if they don't like the way it's going with him. And they also have contractual rights if they do like the way it's going with him. So, sure, everybody wants to see Tyrod Taylor get better, take the next step. But as far as, what did you expect Brandon Bean to say today or this weekend? I'm sold on Tyrod Taylor. He's my guy. I'm married to him. No.
No.
Nobody should. Nobody would say that. And Doug Whaley, his predecessor, wasn't ready to say that either, as evidenced by the contract that they signed Tyrod Taylor to.
Right. I mean, the contract really says it all. You know, the contract says we're not, you know, he's our guy right now. We're not sold on him. We need to see improvement out of him every single year, every single week. You know, we need to see improvement. Now, obviously, you want to see the team win games. If Tyrod Taylor played the same way he did last year in terms of the passing game, and this team, the defense is a lot better, the running game is still the same, you could see a 10-win team, you know, just because your defense has improved that much. You still have one of the top rushing offenses, so you're still scoring points, but your defense has really improved, and so you end up winning 10 games. I don't know if that right there does anything to move the needle in Tyrod Taylor's favor. You know, I think for Tyrod, he just needs to get better in the passing game. You know, I know people measure quarterbacks by fourth quarter comebacks and things like that. For me, overall, the overall picture, you know, just get better in the passing game, and I think people will be sold, including not just the fans, not just, you know, the Bills brass, but his teammates, everybody involved. Everybody will be sold on him. You know, as a receiver, I need to be able to trust that, you know, I'm running these routes and I'm getting open and you can get the ball to me on time, accurate and everything, you know. So I think he just needs to improve in the passing game. If he does that, then they'll be sold on him moving forward.
Give us a call. The lines are open right now. What does Tyrod need to do to prove that he is the franchise quarterback? What can he do this year that would make you believe that he is the guy moving forward? 803-0550 is the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter. A couple of tweets that are interesting. We set up those three parameters. What does he need to do? 10 or more wins, lead a fourth quarter comeback. You know, what was the third one? 10 or more wins, fourth quarter comeback, or what was the third thing you need to prove?
Fourth quarter comeback, 10 or more wins.
There it is, top 15 passing offense. Please. Thank you. So we set that up for you, but a couple of Twitter, somebody tweeted, and he's already done that, or you believe he's already demonstrated that he has already identified himself as a franchise quarterback. I don't know about that. A couple of other tweets on this. All three, actually, according to Justin Lohndigan.
Yeah.
To be a Nick Lettieri, to be a true franchise quarterback, he needs to do all of that. How about his Chester Ming tweets in, how about consistently make the right play, not miss wide open receivers more than once a game? Okay, like to see some improvement in that, no question
right.
about that.
I mean, that just comes with improving in the passing game. You know, see open receivers, throw receivers open, things be on time, be accurate. That's what I want to see from him. You know, fourth quarter comebacks, yeah, I want to see him be able to do that. I want to, once we get into the fourth quarter, if this team is down, to look at Tyrod and say, all right, I know we have Tyrod Taylor. He can bring this team back, not just with his legs, but with his arm. You definitely want to see that. But I want to see him improve in the passing game. If he can improve in the passing game, this team is going to be – well, this offense will be a dangerous offense. I think it already is with the running game, but if you improve in the passing game – you have a dangerous offense, especially if Sammy is on the field and Zay Jones can do what people are saying he can do, and you can bring, you can add in the tight ends and get them more involved in this offense. You have a dangerous offense. If the defense improves, then you have a dangerous team overall. But he really needs to improve in the passing game to sell, you know, to make these coaching staff and make this new GM sold on him being a franchise quarterback. People will say, you know, he's already done that. I don't know if he's done that, you know, because if you have a question mark, and you're always going to question a quarterback, but if you have a question mark about a quarterback in the National Football League passing the ball, then I don't know if you can say he's your sure franchise quarterback moving forward. He really needs to improve in that.
Chan Umbarger tweets in, work on short intermediate throws and use the middle of the field more. Better anticipation, but I think he can do those things. Wolverine tweets in, pass for 4,000-plus yards, 30 touchdowns or more, completion percentage over 65%. 2+ fourth quarter comebacks to win and win 10 games all in one season. Did I miss anything? Wolverine, if he does that, he's not the franchise quarterback. He is the MVP of the league.
Right.
If he does all that. I mean, I get it. You want to set the bar high? I get that. And I want Tyrod to be better. But, you know, let's be realistic, you know. Let's be realistic about who he is and you know, the process he's involved in. He is in the process, I believe, of getting better. I think there were marginal steps forward taken last year, and he needs to take bigger steps this year. But, I don't want to set the bar too high. Like,
right. I don't even know.
Touchdowns and,
I mean, this offense is still going to be a run-first offense, you know. So, yeah. I don't know if they're going to just open it up to Tyrod Taylor and put every game on his shoulders. I don't expect that to happen.
Right.
You know? Now, you want to see him improve in all of the areas that we've talked about. I also want to see him improve. Like, I don't want him to throw more interceptions, but there are windows and things that he needs to hit as an NFL receiver. I mean, an NFL quarterback, and passes that he needs to make that he doesn't make, you know. And I don't know if it's because he's been taught – you don't turn the ball over, but especially in the red zone, in certain areas on the field, you got to make that pass. You know, you have to make that throw. And so, and take the chance. I mean, you really do as an NFL quarterback. Trust your arm, take the chance. I don't want to see his interceptions go up, but I do want to see him take some more chances in certain parts of the field. And I think that really comes along with his development as a quarterback, too.
And it is development, too. And I think, you know, we want it now. We want Tyrod to be the franchise quarterback now. He doesn't look like it now. Find somebody else. Well, it's not always that easy, you know, to find somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think there is something to be said for development. And I do believe as he goes into his third season as a starter in the NFL, that's what the process is. That's where the process is for Tyrod Taylor. What do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-552-550. Josh in Rochester. Hello, Josh. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to talk about what you were just hitting on. he didn't throw many interceptions last year.
No.
I think that through 15 games, there was a total of for the whole team of 8 turnovers throughout the entire year. Our defense lost us a lot of games. We are going to be a run-heavy offense. I think if we give him more of the read option, maybe give an option to dump it out real quick if he sees too many guys in the box, maybe do a little bit more football knowledge on that aspect. But I see Tyrod as our franchise quarterback. He takes care of the ball. He wants to win games. He's competitive as hell. And I think that Bills fans are just a little bit too critical of him sometimes.
I agree with that last part. Josh, I do think fans are a little too critical and maybe expecting a little too much from a guy, any quarterback, you know. Jim Kelly was a Hall of Famer. That's going to be tough to replicate for a long, long time, as it should be if you're in the Hall of Fame. And I think that it's clearly been the number one problem with the Bills' 17-year playoff drought, the lack of a franchise quarterback. And I think Tyrod has shown that he could develop into a pretty good winning quarterback in the NFL. Not necessarily a lights-out Hall of Famer, but a winning quarterback. I think he's demonstrated that he has what it takes to do that.
Yeah, I think, look, Tyrod Taylor can really help you win games. Just the way he plays right now, he can help you win games. This team can win games, especially if last year the defense was a lot better. I think mm-hmm. that's something that people really sleep on. The defense, I mean, they were scoring 25, 26 points a game. If you're scoring that many points a game and you're still losing games, there is a problem. And there's a real problem on the defensive side of the ball, you know. So, yeah, I want to see Tyrod Taylor improve in the passing game, but I think that, you know, that's all he needs to do to really sell the head coach, because this is what we're talking about. We're talking about a new head coach and a new GM, like full new – everybody in the front office is new, you know. So they want to be sold. They want their quarterback to be able to do certain things. Now, you're talking about – they come from Carolina, where Cam Newton improved in his passing game. Early on in his career, yeah, he was a very good running quarterback. But he improved in the passing game, especially the year they went to the Super Bowl. So they want this new coaching staff, this new GM, they want to see him improve in his passing game, just like Cam Newton did, you know. But for me, the defense has to get better. If your defense can shut teams down, you have a team that can make it into the playoffs every year. Defense wins championships. It really does. If you can keep other teams from scoring, if you score one touchdown a game, you keep other teams from scoring, you're going to win the game. I mean, this is what we're talking about. So the defense needs to get better.
Let us know what you think. What does Tyrod Taylor need to do in your mind to be finally acknowledged as a franchise quarterback? That is our Twitter poll that is up right now. The statements this morning by the Bills' new GM, I guess, opens the door again for this debate, you know, about how good Taylor might be. When Brandon Bean talked about open competition to quarterback, some people, I guess, interpreted that as meaning, you know, all bets are off. I mean, is there really a better alternative on the roster this year? And if there is, explain, you know, tell me why. Tell me why Nathan Peterman is a viable alternative. Tell me why Cardale Jones is a real alternative.
Right.
Tell me why T.J. Yates is a better alternative than Tyrod Taylor. I'd like to hear that. So we said the Bills did hire a new assistant GM yesterday, Joe Shane, who comes over after spending a lot of time in the Miami Dolphins front office and in scouting. And this morning, Brandon Bean on Howard and Jeremy on WGR talked about the new assistant GM, Joe Shane. Here's what he had to say.
Well, if you call around the league, Joe has an excellent name. He's a young riser is probably the best way I would describe him. Joe's a hard worker as well. He's had experience in different areas. He started in Carolina as a college scouting assistant, became an area scout. We didn't have any more, you know, we didn't have any place to increase his role. And so the Miami Dolphins, when Jeff Ireland took over and Bill Parcells of that team in 2008, they made him a national scout. And then he worked his way up from there and did great things and just basically ended up moving 3 years ago to Miami. He was an area scout in Texas to become their director of player personnel. And he's done a great job. That team is, you know, obviously in our division, it's on the rise. That was another positive. He knows this division well, being in Miami. And, you know, anytime we can take from the Dolphins and help the Bills, that's a plus.
That is Brandon Bean on Joe Shane, the new assistant GM for the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. He's right. That is a added benefit to steal one of the Dolphins guys, right?
Yeah. And,
you know, a guy who's done a lot of work in personnel, Joe Shane, for mostly Miami, but also for Carolina. So seems like a good hire. Your concerns, our concerns about you know, how are they going to fill out this personnel staff? You got to feel a little bit better about it now.
Since, I think so.
They've hired one and more coming down the pike probably.
I think so. I mean, you have to feel good about what they've done thus far in terms on the football operations side. When you talk about the GM and everything that we talked about him being able to do and working down in Carolina and working in so many different departments down there, he kind of knows the entire organization and how it's supposed to be run. Now he goes and he hires a guy in Joe Shane, and he's more of a football guy. He's kind of come up through scouting and things like that, and I think that's a plus, you know. And we're probably going to hear more names that are like really football guys that have really like boots on the ground, been out there just scouting college guys and pro guys, and that I think they're doing the right thing. And then you like you said, you add to it, you bring a guy over from Miami. I mean, if you can bring people over from Miami and the Jets and the Patriots, and you're doing the right things. But I think it's an added bonus to bring somebody over from Miami because, yeah, it helps you out when you're scouting that team that week.
Brandon Bean on the radio this morning with Howard and Jeremy on our flagship in Buffalo talked about the task ahead of him, basically filling out the entire personnel department. Here's what he had to say.
It is a very unique opportunity. And at first you're like, wow, what a daunting task. But at the same time, you get to build it the way you want to build it and bring in the people who you know from around the league that you've crossed paths with on the road, you know, talking, you know, on the phone, if it's trades or, you know, waiver transactions, whatever. So it's exciting as well. It's a lot of work, but at the end of the day, I think I'm going to love it by the time I, you know, put my handprint on this and get it set.
It's to put his handprint on the entire personnel department, a unique opportunity. He's right about that.
I mean, when you're the GM, you get to put your handprint on the entire scouting department, the entire team, you know? I mean,
yeah, but if you inherit a staff, you don't. You have to say, oh, well, this guy's got how many years left? Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's got – it's different to come in and have everything in front of you. You can do basically whatever you want.
I mean, him and Coach McDermott really are building these things from the ground up. Coach McDermott got to put together his entire staff, and now Brandon Bean gets to put together his entire staff, the entire scouting department, you know. So everything that happens moving forward is on those two guys, and, I mean, we're going to see all of their vision come out in the next couple of years.
All right, we're
going to
break, and when we return, we're going to hopefully be talking with one of the new Buffalo Bills, Jordan Johnson, running back, UB, Sweet Home High School. We'll talk with him about this opportunity he has to try to make the Buffalo roster as an undrafted rookie free agent. That's coming up next. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Live at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you live from One Bills Drive and joining us in our One Buffalo studio just off the field after the offseason conditioning program. Happy to have undrafted rookie free agent running back Jordan Johnson in studio with us. Jordan, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
How did the weekend go? Weekend mini camp with the Buffalo Bills. How was it for you?
It was good. You know, got to learn a lot. You see the change from college to the NFL game is faster. But I think that's because, you know, you got a lot of things going through that you're trying to get down mentally. So it was good, though.
I was watching a little bit of the practice over the weekend, and I thought to myself, you know, you guys are running plays. It's a lot to get done. And just what you show up here Thursday night, and by the weekend, the next day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, you're running plays. It seems like you really had to be in your playbook, I would think.
Yeah, you got to. You know, you got to get going. You know, if you want to make the team, then you want to get things down as quick as possible, as quick as you can, you know, learn, you know, because you're learning each and every day something old and something new.
How many plays are they giving you guys? Is it like a lot? I mean, I think they gave us like 10 a day in minicamps.
I don't know. I don't count. I just look whatever's on the sheet for that day and go over it and go over what I learned the previous day before.
Jordan Johnson in studio with us, Sweet Home High School product and UB product, and now with the Buffalo Bills. Donald asked you before we came on the air, you grew up kind of a Bills fan, a little bit of a Bills fan out there at Sweet Home?
Bills fan, my whole family Bills fans. You know, I like the Bills, don't mind the Bills, love the Bills, you know what I'm saying, because that's the hometown team, so I guess you could say that.
You come to games here at the stadium?
I've been to a couple games here. I actually played in the stadium. Yeah. My high school championship game is in the stadium,
sure.
So I played here three times previously.
Three times, section six playoffs here.
I remember Naaman Roosevelt when he got here. We came in the same year. Naaman got so much love because he was a hometown product. Have you been receiving that
type of love? I have been. You know, I mean, I like to get back to the community too as well as possible. You know, do community service events. Did some in college. You know, so I mean, I'll try to reach out to kids because, you know, I come from a single parent home, so, you know, I try to reach out to kids as many as possible. When they reach out to me, I want to get back to them too, just to, because I'm in a position that they want to be in, and I'm in a position that I want to keep going further in my life as well.
You went to Sweet Home. You mentioned playing in championship games here. 33 wins and just 2 losses in your 3 years on Sweet Home varsity. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
Did you ever, now you played high school championship games here, but you ever think, like, you know, one day I might be playing on that field in the pros?
That's the goal, you know. It's every kid who plays football, I think the ultimate goal, even though they might not say it, is to play professional football. And then we had the ability to play for our hometown team and have our own team in my hometown. Not a lot of people could say, you know, I've been in my hometown my whole life, and now I'm playing professionally for my hometown.
When you're standing there on the field at Sweet Home, you can almost see UB Stadium, right? Was that always the plan, to go right to UB right around the corner from Sweet Home High School?
The plan was to, honestly, was to go to the best college that best suited me. You know, so when the recruiting process started, you know, Buffalo offered, I actually committed right away. It was something that, you know, just felt right. When Coach Quinn offered me, we sat down in his office and we talked, and it was the right fit. You know, just being from Buffalo, it made it even much better because my family, they was able to watch me every home game and be there and support me.
I mean, it has to be the same now. I mean, your family will be able to watch you if you end up, you know, on the team. Well, first of all, even in training camp, your family can come and watch practice in training camp, and it will be a little bit different. I don't know if you guys would go down to Rochester and watch training camp in the past, but now they're watching to watch you practice.
Yeah, that's going to be nice, you know. Because practices now is just like games. You got to give it 110% every day because you never know what day could be your last day. So they're going to be able to see me at full go and give it them all.
Hey, Jordan, to go through the coaching change that you went through at UB from, as you mentioned, Coach Quinn and then Coach Leipold, how difficult was that? How much of an adjustment was that for you to get a new coach about halfway through your career there?
Well, when Coach Quinn first got let go, Coach Quinn's a great guy, a good coach. You know, it's sad to see that he got let go. He got let go in the middle of the season, so our offensive coordinator took over and was the interim head coach, Coach Wood. He was a good guy as well. And then when Coach Leipold came in, I think the change was smooth. Coach Leipold, he's a very good coach. You know, he wanted – this past season, get closer to the players, you know, and I thank him for that because the first year coming in, you know, it's his first year. He want to do things his way and things that worked for him in the past. But, you know, I didn't mind playing for any coach. I think all three of them were very good coaches.
UB brings the pro day here into the field house, the Ad Pro Sports Training Center here. You had a pretty good day that day. You must have felt like you got some attention that day from what you did out there.
Yeah, it was a very good day. You know, it was, I think, 10, 12 scouts here represented from NFL and CFL teams. You know, you always want to do better, a little bit better than what you did. Because, I mean, you training for 8-10 weeks. You want to try to go out and do the best that you can do. Yeah. But, honestly, it's a little nervous when you see not your college coaches out there, but actual NFL personnel, scouts, and stuff like that.
Where'd you train?
I trained in Indianapolis at St. Vincent Sports Performance.
How'd you wind up out there?
My agent. He's very close with the people out there.
Mm-hmm. Were you anticipating you might get a call during the draft, or were you sitting by the phone Saturday night as soon as the draft ended a month or so ago?
Honestly, I'm one of those people that just let things play out. You know, I told if I was to get a call, it would be late in the rounds or right after. So, you know, I'm not one of those people who go psych myself up and try to be like, you know what, and tell everybody, hey, I'm going to get drafted, things like that. I just play things cool and just be mellow about everything.
We've talked to a couple of different rookies this year's class, and I always try to ask them what type of player are you. So what type of running back do you feel like you are?
I mean balanced back, but at the same time I'm gonna do whatever the coaches ask me to do. You know, if they want me to go in and get 1 yard, then I'm gonna go in and get 1 yard. If they want me to do a stretch zone, then I'm gonna have to do a stretch zone and show my speed. You know, I'm gonna just do whatever a coach asks me to do. You know, I'm on the bigger side for a running back, 225 pounds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, if they need me to be a power back, I'll be a power back. You know, if they need me to lose weight and get faster, then, hey, that's just what I'm going to do. I'm going to do whatever they ask me to do.
What do you think you do best, Jordan, of all those attributes?
I honestly think a little bit of both. You know, it depends. If I'm in open space, I like to think I can make somebody miss if I'm in open space. But at the same time, I could get the short yards as well if I need to.
What about catching the ball out of the backfield?
That's something I've been working on. You know, I ain't have a lot of catches in college, but it's not because I can't catch. It's just because I just didn't have the ball thrown to me that way. But I work on my game, you know, every day trying to work on something, and that's something now in today's NFL that you need to work on is catching the ball out of the backfield.
With Jordan Johnson, Bills running back, former UB Bulls running back, at this past weekend's minicamp, was there any defender that you know, you mentioned earlier about how the speed, the quickness, a little bit different. Anybody get your attention on the other side of the ball? Like, you're like, whoa, that guy's a little – that's
I honestly think all of them did. You know, I mean, the defense was swarming. You know, it's a couple of plays that I wish I could have back and things like that. That's just how it is. You know, you coming out here, everybody, you know, they trying to prove themselves, you know, show the coaches whether they were drafted, priority free agents, or just here trying out. You know, everybody's here trying to – get recognition and try to make a football team. So I think everybody was flying around with energy.
Right. This weekend you were out there with the entire rookie class, but now you get in here today and you have a workout with the veterans, you know. So what was it like to get in here with Shady and all of those guys?
That you know, it was cool being able to see them. You know, it's like usually you see them on TV, but now you get to see them on see them in person. Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow it'll be OTAs, which will be a little bit different, 11 on 11, 7 on 7, and almost real football starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I mean, so – tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. So I'm guessing that the speed will definitely pick up because those guys have been in the NFL for a while. So
let's go. I mean, it'll pick up every step you go from tomorrow to training camp. It'll get a little faster. And then, you know, if you end up making a team, it'll get faster once you get to regular season. That's just kind of how it goes. But, yeah, you'll be okay. You'll adjust with it.
It's the plan, you know. The one thing they do say is just as the more you learn, the more you know, then you can make the game be slower to you.
Well, there's a couple of things. The more you know, the more you can do. Special teams, is that something you did in college?
I did it in college. I actually played special teams this past year. So, you know, I mean, they asked me to play special teams. I mean, I want to play special teams. I want to do anything that's going to make the team, you know, but you just got to take it one day at a time and go from there.
There's also opportunity, Jordan, and we all know, you know, Mike Gillisley a couple of weeks ago got the offer sheet and went to the New England Patriots, and there's a sliver of opportunity here at the running back spot. Wouldn't you agree? Shady is obviously the number one. Jonathan Williams comes back for his second year, but it's I'm not going to say it's wide open, but there's an opening there, I would think. Mm-hmm. You got to look at it that way, huh?
I mean, it's some great backs here, you know, like you said, and Williams, and then, you know, they got the guy who just came in from the Jaguars, and then you got Cedric, who I was here with over the weekend. You know, they got some good running backs, you know, and then, like you said, LeSean McCoy, clearly the number one back. You know, I just want to come in here and work and prove myself each and every day. You know, I can't pay attention to a depth chart. Like you said, it's only one number one person. You know, at the end of the day, I got to try to prove myself each and every day just to get on the field. You know, rather that's as a backup, a third string, or on special teams. I just want to be on the field and contribute as much as I can.
You haven't at UB, unfortunately, not a whole lot of wins, and you come from, you know, not one of the Power Five conferences in the Mid-American Conference. Do you feel like you got something to prove on behalf of UB or on behalf of the Mid-American Conference, you think?
I mean, I always got a chip on my shoulder, you know, just I grew up without my father, so, you know, that just gave me motivation right there. You know, I don't come from the most wealthiest home right there. So, you know, I just want to be able to put my family in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people, you know, counted me out being from Buffalo, not going to a Power Five school. You know, I always got a chip on my shoulder. So, I mean, at the same time, you know, we didn't win a lot of games, but what people don't understand is when you face adversity, it teaches you a lot about yourself. Mm-hmm. It makes you grow up and it makes you realize that not everything's going to always be perfect, but it's how you react to those situations.
Last thing, since you've signed here and it's only been a week or so, what's a typical day been like for you here around One Bills Drive?
A busy one.
Yeah. Starts early, right? Goes pretty late?
Yes, sir.
What do you do? Like, you started, 6:37 in the morning here?
6:30 in the morning, breakfast, and, you know, you got meetings and then practice and then meetings again.
Yeah, it'll get busier and busier as we go along. So, you know, get some rest at night and stay in your playbook.
That's all, sir.
I can tell you. Like, the more you know about the playbook, the less you have to think out there on the field. You know what I'm saying? So stay in your playbook.
Yes, sir.
You know, Donald was an undrafted free agent here, right? Did you know that?
Yeah.
How many years ago? 20 years ago? No,
it wasn't 20 years ago.
7 years ago?
I came in 7 years ago, yeah. Undrafted. I became a starter year one and was a starter every year after that.
Hey, hopefully I can.
So it can happen to you.
Hey, I hope so. God willing.
Jordan, thanks for this. Good luck to you. Thanks for stopping by here.
I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Jordan Johnson, Sweet Home High School, UB product. He's undrafted rookie free agent with the Buffalo Bills at running back. Donald and I back with more of the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yes, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones. Again, our thanks to Jordan Johnson for joining us in studio, a kind of guy you can root for. When I mentioned to Jordan in that interview a minute ago, Donald, how you essentially beat the odds, made the roster as an undrafted rookie.
His eyes light up.
His eyes lit up. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to listen to this guy now. We should have told him that before.
We should have, right, in the beginning.
But
like,
no,
that's
good advice for him, you know. And I'm sure everybody's telling him, be in your playbook, pay attention. But you did it.
Yeah.
That's an uphill. I mean, Jordan's got an uphill fight. You came here with an uphill battle, right, seven years ago.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle because, you know, everybody's counting you out. And I remember, you know, they had a couple of guys in that were second-round picks. And the coaching staff, they were giving those guys so many of the plays.
Yeah, they're invested in those picks.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, can I get something? Like, can I just get a rep? And then the one rep that I would get, I'd mess up. You know, especially at this part of the year. In minicamps and OTAs, I'd mess up, you know, just because it was so much going on and they were starting to put in different audibles and things. I'm lining up on the wrong side of the ball. I mean, that's what happens. And I remember calling my uncle, like, Unc, I'm telling you, I think I need a job. You know, he was like, man, please, go ahead and make the team.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm telling you, Unc, they're going to cut me, man. I keep lining up wrong. I can't get anything right, you know. But they kept me on through training camp, and I ended up making the team. It's an uphill battle. You have to stay in your playbook. You have to really know your playbook. If you know your playbook, you don't have to think as much on the field, and you can just play with speed, and they can really see how good you are. You have to be in shape. So hopefully he's in shape. You like to think that these rookies coming from their whole combine training and everything, they're in shape, but that's what they've been training for. They haven't been training to play football,
right.
You know. So a lot of times they'll come in here and they're tired, you know, because now you have people leaning on you and doing different things. So you need to be in shape. And then you just need to go out there and play fast, have fun, and you know, let the chips fall where they may.
I thought about it over the weekend too, and when I watched a little bit of the workouts over the weekend about how the pressure that's on those guys.
Yeah.
And it's one thing for Jordan Johnson and the undrafted rookies who come here trying to win a job, and then there's this whole other group of tryout players here this past weekend. Ultimate pressure. I mean, it looks like just another football practice, and it's sunny and cool, and it's springtime and blue skies. But if you're out on that field in a Bills uniform, coming in here for a weekend tryout, basically three practices to try to win a job, that's like the ultimate job interview. That's extreme pressure. And I had that thought watching those guys over the weekend.
And when you're the tryout guy, like when you're undrafted, for the most part, they're going to bring you back. If they sign you right after the draft, they're going to bring you into training camp.
Yeah, bring you to camp at least. Because they
need bodies. Yeah. But when you're a tryout guy, it's like everything that you do, you know they're paying attention. And you know, like, this is probably the biggest weekend of my career. If I really want to play football in the NFL, this is the weekend I have to make it happen just so that I can make it to next week to OTAs, you know. And then every week, every day, everything, every meeting, everything that you do, you're on eggshells because you really don't know. You know, it's a lot different for the first-round draft picks. Now, the first-round pick, he has pressure to perform just because he was a first-round pick, right? Mm-hmm. And people want to see the first-round pick be good. Don't be a bust. You know, he has pressure, but he knows he has a little bit of money in his pocket. He knows that he's going to be here for a few years. Those undrafted guys and those tryout guys, you just don't know. You really don't know. And so, it's a lot of pressure every day.
Hey, our Twitter poll deals with the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, and we want to know, what does he have to do to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback here? And we're talking about in the upcoming season. We all believe he's going to be the starter this year, 2017. The door's kind of open for speculation about that today after GM Brandon Bean talked about open competition at quarterback. Of course it is, but there's not really a better alternative at quarterback than Tyrod Taylor is there. But what does he need to do to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback? That's our Twitter poll. We're an hour into it so far. About 56% of you say he needs to lead the Bills to 10 or more wins this year. 20% say he needs fourth quarter comebacks. 16% say the Bills need to finish in the top 15 in passing offense. They were 30th last year. And 8% have something else in mind. Love to talk to you about this. The phone line's open, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. I think it makes a lot of sense for Brandon Bean to say open competition to quarterback, but I don't think there's much dispute that it'll be Tyrod this September.
Yeah, I think it'll be Tyrod this September. But like I said, going back to that first segment, when you're a first-time GM and you're a new head coach, first-time head coach, you want to lay that those rules down. You want to lay that baseline. This is what it's going to be here moving forward. Every year you have to earn the right to make this team. Every year you have to earn the right to start. Just because you were started last year, just because your contract, you're making this on contract, you know, on paper, does not mean that you are going to be a starter, you know. And if there's another guy out there that is playing better than you right now, he is going to start, and we might end up releasing you, you know, because that guy probably is cheaper, especially if it's one of these rookies, you know. And that's just kind of how it works in the league, and they want to let the entire team know that. I don't care who you are, you have to earn the right to start here on this team.
We'll take more of your thoughts on that as the show moves along. Coming up after the top of the hour break here, we're going to talk with Peter King from mmqb.si.com, longtime pro football writer. He has written about the Bills in his Monday morning quarterback post today. The Bills begin again. We'll talk with Peter King about that when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
We've got the update from One Bills Drive. Tomorrow, day one of organized team activity, OTAs, the first of 10 sessions over the next couple of weeks. They start tomorrow. No contact in the OTAs, but the entire roster expected to be on the field for these voluntary workouts. They go through 11-on-11, 7-on-7 workouts, 9-on-7, again with no contacts and certainly not full pads, but OTAs start tomorrow. New Bills general manager Brandon Bean says there will be an open competition at every position, including quarterback. He said it this morning on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Bean says, I am for open competition, even though it is expected Tyrod Taylor will start. Yesterday, the Bills' Brandon Bean made his first big hire. Joe Shane, named as Buffalo's new assistant general manager, comes over from Miami, where he was the Dolphins' director of player personnel for the last 4 years, and before that was assistant director of college scouting. Shane spent his first 5 years with the Dolphins as one of their national scouts. He came into the league with the Carolina Panthers. San Diego Chargers have released starting guard Orlando Franklin, who just signed a 5-year, $36.5 million deal 2 years ago. Franklin, the third starting offensive lineman cut by the Chargers this offseason. I said San Diego. They, of course, are the Los Angeles Chargers. Stanley Cup hockey tonight. Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. The Penguins in Ottawa. Game two coming up in Pittsburgh tonight. Ottawa won the first game by a score of 2-1, and they lead the series 1-0. The Western Conference Finals resume tomorrow night in Nashville. That series tied at 1-1 apiece after Anaheim's 5-3 victory last night. The Bison swept in a doubleheader yesterday. Lehigh Valley beat the Herd 7-2 and 1-0. The Bisons held to just 9 hits in the 2 games combined. They're back in Buffalo for a 7-game homestand starting tonight. The first of the Bisons' 7-game homestand. The no-rain guarantee all weekend long. The Bisons and Syracuse, 6:05 first pitch tonight. And it is Jared Gruby on the mound for the Herd in tonight's game. And that's the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy and Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio. And joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, longtime observer of the NFL. He is a longtime reporter for Sports Illustrated covering the league. And now, of course, he is the man behind the website, mmqb.si.com. Happy to have Peter King on the line with us. Peter, John Murphy, Donald Jones, thanks for being with us here today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How are you?
Good. Good. The headline of your post today, your Monday morning quarterback post today, the Bills begin again. I think most Bills fans identify. I know I did. Most Bills fans identify like, yep, here we go again, Peter. You kind of captured that right in the first sentence or two.
Well, I mean, obviously, John, you've seen it all. Since the last time that they played a playoff game, they've had this is the Sean McDermott's the ninth head coach, and Brandon Bean is the seventh either GM or franchise architect, and it's got to be getting old. And I think literally, you know, if you're a Bills fan, you have to be thinking one of two things right now. Okay, good. We've got young blood. We've got two guys out to prove themselves. We don't have the old recycled coach slash, you know, long-time GM either being recycled or, you know, basically a veteran guy who is, you know, on his second or third team. I mean, both these guys basically are hungry to prove themselves as really competent, you know, both as a coach and franchise builders. And that's one of the reasons why, look, I think both decisions have been greeted with acclaim, and well, they should. But there's still two issues. Number one, you don't know if you have the long-term quarterback. Number two, no one has been able to, you know, to climb to the top of Mount Patriot in 16 years. So until somebody can do that, it all sounds good in the off season, but doesn't mean a lot yet.
Peter, like you said, it all sounds good in the off season, but when you had a chance to sit down and talk to them together, and then when you speak to people in the football world, what do they say about these two hires that the Bills have made?
Well, I think one of the reasons that people like that people like Sean McDermott is his pedigree. You know, you go back to learning under Jim Johnson. He's a universally respected defensive mind by people who play all different kinds of defenses. You talk about people who run the zone blitz, and they say, man, Jim Johnson, he is a hugely respected guy in my mind. And you talk about people who run sort of a more standard defense, you know, the Bill Parcells, as they love Jim Johnson. So, Sean McDermott was a pup at the right hand of Jim Johnson, and that's of huge help. Then, after working for the Eagles for a while, he goes to Carolina and he helps build a great defense there. The thing that I like about Sean McDermott, and Ron Rivera has made it clear to me over the years, that is Sean McDermott running that defense. Mm-hmm. And, and it isn't that other people didn't have a hand in it, but Sean McDermott was very much his fingerprints all over that. And as far as, Brandon Bean goes, I think one of the things that I think is attractive about him is that he has done everything, mm-hmm. From going from the absolute lower levels of football, being an intern in the Carolina Panthers, both in PR and football ops, and then just doing every job along the way, getting more and more responsibility on the way. And so, and both these guys are still very young. They're still in their early 40s, and I think that is an attractive thing. Now, it's nothing against Rex Ryan, but the Bills got Rex Ryan on the rebound. There's something to be said for getting a guy who's won before, who's brought a team to the playoffs. I get it. But I think in today's day and age, I want somebody to come in who's dying to prove himself. I don't want Rex Ryan. I don't want Jeff Fisher. I don't want these guys who have done it before. And, they don't really have the it's not really burning in them, in my opinion, the way it would a guy who's never done it before, who's got no money in the bank, relatively speaking. But again, I don't want to praise either guy too much because you just don't know. They're a blank slate. Mm-hmm. But they come to the job with the right pedigree. I think that right now is a positive.
We're with Peter King from mmqb.si.com. And that's the flip side, isn't it, Peter? The fact that, the Bills have in place now, the top two football decision makers are guys who've never been in this position before. Can you think of any recent examples that of a situation like that where it's worked out really well? And what do we anticipate here?
Well, I mean, I guess I would look at, in a different way, sort of the Seattle Seahawks, where Pete Carroll came from being in college football for a long time, and John Schneider was brand new as a GM, and that worked really well. Their chemistry, even though they didn't know each other that well, I think their chemistry worked out well. Probably another good example, in terms of more recent times. And again, look, all of this is nothing is exactly the same at all. But, I think you go to Philadelphia and look at, Howie Roseman right now. He's been in and out of that chair in Philadelphia. and Howie Roseman getting to pick his guy in Doug Peterson. You know, so these things work all in different ways, really. Mike Smith, Thomas Dimitroff getting a chance together in 2008 in Atlanta. But again, obviously, you guys have seen it. It hasn't always worked. Mm-hmm. And so, look, I think everybody should just be happy, confident. Okay, we've taken the right step. Now how are we going to beat Tom Brady?
Now, yeah. Well, I wanted to say one more thing about this. In your post, the Bills begin again on MMQB. You mentioned about the fact that McDermott had to recruit Brandon Bean a little bit. I asked Bean on our show last Friday, Peter, you know, you were on track to be the GM in Carolina, maybe in the not-too-distant future. What brought you up here? And you write that there was a book involved in some way, huh?
Well, I think, who knows whether he would have come anyway, but, you know, late in the process, between the first and second interview that Brandon Bean had, Sean McDermott, who's a fan of inspirational and probably faith-based books, you know, was in the process of reading a book about live your dreams. And he took a picture of the cover of the book and he texted it to Bean, who at that moment was basically watching TV in bed with his wife, and they're sitting there talking about this job. And it was very fortuitous because Brandon Bean, his entire life, lived in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Sean McDermott and his wife, rather, her entire life lived in the Carolinas. So, I mean, the whole thing was, to me, and what was so interesting about this is that book came along, you know, make sure your dreams are big enough. And that book came along, and it was a spur that I think was one of the final straws in getting this thing done.
Peter, in your post, you talk a little bit and you ask them about, you know, their relationship. There's a lot being made up here because of, you know, things that the perception in the past and how the GM didn't get along with previous coaches. So there's a lot of talk up here about, you know, the GM needs to really have a good relationship with the head coach. So what do you think about their relationship as you had a chance to sit down and speak to them?
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why you should be optimistic if you're a Bills fan. These guys basically together brought in players. Look at the story of Mario Addison taken off the practice squad of Washington about 5 years ago. That was a decision that that Bean wanted to pursue, and that those are the kind of decisions that he and Sean McDermott talked about and will end up pursuing similar kind of decisions, you know, at this level. And I think one of the things about doing a shotgun marriage with your head coach and general manager like Rex Ryan, Doug Whaley, one of the things about doing that is that, look, the owner might want to hire Rex Ryan, and the owner might be all fired up about hiring Rex Ryan. But the minute he gets hired, and again, I have absolutely no idea deep down what each guy thought of each other, but I mean deep down, you can't tell right away if Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley have any of the same philosophies, look at building a roster the same together. So again, and it turned out to be, I wouldn't call it a debacle, but it just wasn't very smooth. It wasn't harmonic. It wasn't harmonic convergence. This one, you know that this is the guy who Sean McDermott wanted to be his architect, and you know as an architect that this is the guy that Brandon Bean wanted as his head coach. So you look at it and, you know, it's pretty fortuitous, and again, probably at this stage, when you see the coach and general manager, how do they fit? I mean, I think it's an excellent fit. Now, obviously, they got to go out and get the right players.
Mm-hmm. On the line with Peter King from MMQB.SI.com. You mentioned right off the top, Peter, about the central questions for the Bills. One, you don't know if you have the long-term answer at quarterback. Brandon Bean talked about that a little bit today. Certainly, Tyrod Taylor is the short-term answer, and Donald and I have been saying the contract, the way it's structured for Tyrod Taylor, makes it pretty clear that they're not convinced he's long-term, but for 2017, he's the guy. He's going to get another chance to prove himself, right?
And he should. I think he played well enough last year, and I know that some people in the organization thought that he deserved 2017. Some didn't. And by the way he approached his contract this offseason, Tyrod Taylor said, I am willing to play on a prove-it basis. So good for him. He's, you know, and look, obviously, if he wasn't willing to play on a prove-it basis, he might have gotten whacked. So, you know, good for him that he's played it this way. And look, I think he's in the right position with the right offensive system that he knows quite well, you know, coming from Baltimore. And so, look, I think that they're doing the best thing they could. I think it would have been a big mistake to reach for a quarterback they didn't love in this draft, especially because, I mean, look, I can't give you a percentage, but it's probably 50-50 that after this year they're going to say Tyrod's our guy.
Now, we actually have a Twitter poll up today, and it's about Tyrod Taylor and what he needs to do to prove to, you know, Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean that he is the franchise and the Bills fans that he is the franchise quarterback moving forward. So in your opinion, what does he need to do to prove to everybody up here in Western New York that he's the guy moving forward?
Play 16 games, complete 67%, limit mistakes, fewer than 10 interceptions. I mean, those are the kind of things. Command the team. He certainly earned the respect of the team last year. But I think those things are important. And, you know, look, it's no matter what beyond 2017 the future of Sammy Watkins is, look, you got Watkins now. Get him as healthy as you can and let him help you give Buffalo the deep threat that, you know, he was supposed to be when he was drafted.
Hey, Peter, you mentioned the Mount Patriot problem for the Buffalo Bills. I guess as we follow closely what New England's been up to this offseason, maybe it's wishful thinking, but many people in Buffalo look at it as if to say, look, the Patriots know that the Brady window is closing, and they're loading up a little bit now, maybe on the other side of the ball, in fact, but maybe we won't have to wait too much longer for New England to move aside.
John, I don't know. I mean, everybody can say the Patriot window is closing. Brady's 39. He turns 40 on August 3. But, you know, I could easily argue that at age 39, he had one of the three or four best seasons of his career, had a great playoff run and one of the great Super Bowl rallies, the greatest Super Bowl rally there ever was. So, I mean, I don't think – I keep hearing that. I really do. I keep hearing that the Patriots window, the Patriots another window is closing. I don't see it. I mean, because it's one of the reasons why they kept Garoppolo and why they'll have a big decision to make at the end of this year. What to do about Garoppolo, what to do about Brady. This is a seminal year for the Patriots in terms of deciding their long-term future because – let's say Brady is hurt, misses a bunch of time, and Belichick says, hey, listen, I got to go with the kid. We're going to sign the kid. Tom, we love you. Thanks for the memories. It's not likely, certainly, but it wouldn't shock me. Even if they say we're going with Garoppolo, to me, there's a reason why the Patriots have been so loyal to Garoppolo and didn't make this huge trade this offseason. They love Garoppolo. Belichick is firmly convinced that he can be a playoff quarterback. He can be a Super Bowl caliber quarterback. So, you know, hey, we'll see. And you're right. It might be wishful thinking, but, you know, people might be right in questioning the long-term future of the Patriots.
Now, Peter, as you talk about Garoppolo and they love Garoppolo and they have a big decision to make, let's just say that did happen and they were to say, you know, thanks, Tom Brady, for what you've done for us, but we have to go with the kid now. You had a chance to sit down with Brady after the Super Bowl in, like, some hideaway out in, like, Wyoming or something like that. Did you get the sense that if that was to happen that Brady would retire? Does he still have that fire burning?
Brady's going to keep playing. If he gets whacked by Belichick at the end of this year, Tom Brady is going to keep playing. He's not leaving the game until he wants to. And he absolutely, unequivocally, unless something weird happens this year, will not want to leave.
Hey, Peter, I have one more question for you. It deals with another topic you dealt with in your post today, MMQB, and that's officiating. When Dean Blandino announced he was stepping aside, a lot of people panicked about the new centralized replay. It sounds like, from what you've written today, it's going to be business as usual in that room in New York, huh?
They think it is, John. With Alberto Riveron joining or now being the, the chief decision maker in that room, I think that everybody in New York is looking at it like, hey, it's no big deal. We're going to be fine. And I think right now the way I look at it is they have brought in two of their best. One of their best headlinesmen, Wayne Mackey, comes off the field to work inside there. And then the guy who they believe is the best replay official in the NFL comes in there to help them as well. So I think they're buttressing Alberto Riveron, the people around him, and I think they're confident that they'll be able to do it right. But again, Bill Parcells used to say they don't sell insurance for this kind of stuff. And losing a guy like Dean Blandino, I think he was tremendous at his job in part because he was so instantaneously conversant on every rule, and he could deal with the media so well, and that's so important in that job.
Hey, Peter, thanks for this. Thanks for your time. We hope to talk again sometime. We really appreciate it.
Okay, guys, thanks very much for having me.
Thanks. Peter King from MMQB.com. His post today starts with the Bills. The Bills begin again. He talked to the Brain Trust, the new Brain Trust of the Bills, John McDermott and Brandon Bean. Talked to them about how they got together, the little recruitment process that Sean McDermott had to do for Brandon Bean, and what it looks like ahead. We thank Peter King for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Subway Eat Fresh. You read the post. I encourage Bills fans to read it. Just a little bit behind the scenes of what went on as far as bringing in Brandon Bean and kind of a better sense maybe of what their shared vision is. I thought Peter made a lot of sense.
Yeah, he does make a lot of sense. I mean, just the recruitment process and the book that the picture that he texted Brandon Bean, he's laying in the bed with his wife and he gets this picture. And even in the article, he said, you know, I laughed at it because this is so Sean. He said that he was quoted saying that this is so Sean right here. He probably said that to his wife. But when he actually looked at the picture and looked at the book, it was like, man, this is, you know, he's right about this. You know, this is something where together we can build this thing from the ground up and we can take an entire city that has been starving for a playoff berth, an entire city that has been starving for a Super Bowl since the Super Bowl years when they went 4 years in a row and didn't win one, a city that is really starving for something. You know, the Sabres hasn't been in the playoffs. They're starving for a championship. We can go there and bring that to this city. And so I'm sure that's what went through his mind, and he talked to his wife about it.
You got all of this out of the article? I didn't see any of that.
Man, but you could just imagine when, you know,
you
can imagine him laying there thinking about it, you know, because as a player, that's how I would think, you know.
And we talked to Brandon Bean about a Friday, a Carolina lifer. I mean, a guy, as Peter said, he's been in Carolina his whole life. Mm-hmm. Dave Gettleman is 63 years old. In 2 or 3 years, if the Panthers have some success, it's highly likely you would have thought that Brandon Bean was going to be considered for the GM job in Carolina. And, you know, his home area. You know, to come up here, it probably did require a little bit of recruitment.
And you had a chance to, I mean, you talked to him about it as he talked about his wife. And, you know, it's good when you have someone that supports you in your decisions like that, because she's a lifetime Carolina person.
Yeah.
You know, Carolina, how do you say
Carolinian.
That? Carolinian.
I think.
She's been there for her entire life. So he probably had to really sit down and talk to her about it. Like, babe, I think we're going to have to.
That's a big move.
Yeah, we're going to have to leave and go up to Buffalo and make this thing happen. And maybe he had to recruit her as well.
Your thoughts on what you heard from Peter King? Peter King, excuse me, give us a call on that. Our Twitter poll deals with Tyrod Taylor. Peter said this, too, and I wrote it down, about Tyrod Taylor. He said, Taylor is in the right position, right offensive system that he knows. And this is the part that got my attention. Peter King a moment ago said he thinks it's a 50-50 proposition that after this year, the Bills say Tyrod is our guy.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. That's our Twitter poll today. What does Tyrod Taylor need to prove to you need to do to prove to you that he is a franchise quarterback. That's our poll up on Twitter, and right now it's all about the wins and losses for our Twitter respondents. About 56% of you say Taylor and the Bills need to win 10 or more games. 20% say fourth quarter comebacks. 16% say being the top 15 in passing. 8% said others. Peter King talked about a 67% completion rate, fewer than 10 interceptions, which he already does. Let us know what you think. We've got time here now with open phones coming up to talk about this. You heard Peter King say it's a 50-50 proposition that the Bills will stick with Tyrod Taylor after this year. What do you think? What does he need to do this season, the 2017 season, to demonstrate to you that he's a franchise quarterback? Lines are open, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. You can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Donald and I will have our thoughts on what he needs to do when we return, but we'd love to hear from you. It is the John Murphy Show, presented by NEPA Auto Parts. Live today at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Donald Jones and I back at One Bills Drive, our One Buffalo studio in the AdPro Sports Training Center. I'd like to hear from you about the Bills and about Tyrod Taylor in particular. What do you need to see from Tyrod Taylor this year to make you think that he is a franchise quarterback? What do you need to see, Donald? What are you looking for from Tyrod Taylor?
I need to see – I mean, I think he has already kind of taken command of the team. I think he has the respect of his teammates. I just want to see him improve in the passing game. You know, I want to see him throw on time. I want to see him throw guys open, be accurate. You know, don't throw high over the middle, things like that. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes at time. All quarterbacks do. But don't make it a consistent thing, you know, where you're constantly making these mistakes over the middle of the field. I want to see him throw, you know, make some throws into tight windows, throws that quarterbacks should be able to make when we're talking about tight ends running up the seam with the linebacker with his back turned towards the quarterback. Running with that tight end, yeah, you need to be able to make that throw. You get into the red zone, sometimes you got to thread the needle a little bit, you know. I don't want his interceptions to go up, but I want to see him more confident in making more throws, you know. And for me, that's what I want to see. I still want to see him be able to do the things that, you know, he can do with his legs, but don't look at it like, you know, this is like, don't always try to use your legs, you know, step up in the pocket and make the throw. Don't get out of dodge just because you feel there's some pressure coming. Step up, make the throw. That's what I want to see from him. And I think if he can do that, I still think this offense is going to be a top 25. I mean, a top 10 scoring offense. You know, I don't think that it needs to be a top 15 passing offense. You know, if it's somewhere around 20, I'm totally fine with that if you're still scoring points because you're running the ball so well. I think the defense just needs to improve. If he can do all of that stuff, then I think we're okay.
Want to know from you, what do you think Tyrod Taylor needs to do to prove he's a franchise quarterback? And you can give us a call at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-552-550. I don't necessarily disagree with anything you've said. And Peter King talked about, you know, 67% completion rate. Tyrod's been 63 and 62%. So there's improvement there, obviously. Mm-hmm. And as far as statistically, you know, he's thrown for about 3,000 yards in each of his first two seasons with 14 and then 15 games. I'd like to see a little more yardage. Not a whole lot of attempts
right
over those 2 years. 380 attempts, 436 attempts last year. You don't want the fundamental character of the Bills offense to change much.
Exactly.
I know some people think that's important to do to prove some point. I don't care about that. They can run and run their way to success,
run,
especially in this climate, late season games. So statistically, certainly you'd like to see Tyrod continue to keep his interceptions down. He is one of the
right
best in the league at that. Statistically, I don't care as much about that as I do about just something else. And you know what that is? Delivering the ball on time.
On time.
On time. Accurately, yes, but more than accuracy, on time. The windows close in an instant. I'm a broken record on this one. There are and people say he missed an open receiver, and by miss, yeah, he misses, but he doesn't pull the trigger when he
yeah
sees him. Pull the trigger, get it there on time, hopefully get it to him in stride. Different offense, as Peter King said, it's an offense that should suit him pretty well, but deliver the ball on time, back in the pocket. Hope you don't lose any of that great mobility. Hope you don't lose any of the, you know, the fact that he can pick up first downs with his feet.
Yeah.
As back to his stats for a second, you'd like to see the sacks cut down. because he is sacked quite a bit. But, again, that goes to getting rid of the ball on time. He doesn't deliver on time and so-called misses receivers, and all of a sudden he's nowhere to go except take a sack.
You know, when you're not throwing the ball as much because you run the ball so well, you do want to see that completion percentage go up a little bit. Now, he's around 62, 63. He does need to be up above 67 because he's not throwing the ball as much.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about somebody throwing the ball 40 times a game. You're not throwing it as much. I want to see that percentage goes up, which means that you are stepping up in the pocket. You are throwing on time. You are hitting receivers, finding the open receiver. You know, how many times – now, all quarterbacks miss open receivers. But how many times do you see a guy like Brady, since, you know, Brady's one of the best, find an open guy? He was wide open, and Brady, he found him. You know, it's like, yeah, we want to see you do that. We don't want to always watch a game and see receivers running wide open and you don't see it as a quarterback. I understand that you're going to miss some, but you need to find these guys, you know. And for me, it's all about confidence. I think it's confidence. We know he doesn't turn the ball over, and that's a great thing. I don't want to see him turn the ball over, but I do want to see him be more confident in making throws on time. You know, be more confident in sometimes threading the needle. I want to see him be more confident in himself.
What does he need to do to prove that he's the man? Tyrod Taylor, give us a call. I want to hear from you at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's Joe in Batavia. Hello, Joe. You're on the air with us.
Hi. Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the air.
Okay.
Turn your radio
down,
Joe.
You got to talk to us.
I'm Joe, and I like Tyrod Taylor. I really thought he was really good. He comes into camp, he's ready to roll and everything like that. He's in shape and everything. But my big problem is how does Buffalo expect him to be a number one quarterback when they have so many penalties and injuries and missed coverages and sacks and everything like that? They, to eliminate these kind of errors, it's going to reflect on the GM and the head coach. That they should, they got to get rid of these before Tyrod can really show that he, show what kind of a quarterback he is.
Yeah, the one thing that I agree with is the injuries. Now, that's football. This is football, so guys are going to get injured. But you do need to see his weapons, the guys that he is comfortable with on the field for the entire season with him. You know, if you can see that, and those guys are healthy, then we can go back to the year that, you know, Sammy Watkins was one of the top receivers in the league in the second half of that year. And, you know, Tyrod was throwing the ball down the field at will, you know, and connecting with Sammy. And then he can hit now a Zay Jones over the middle, or even a Charles Clay over the middle of the field, or even deep down the seams, you know. So, yeah, I think the injuries is something that you hope that these guys can stay on the field with him. If they stay on the field with him for an entire season and he stays on the field for an entire season, I think you can get an accurate sense of if he's your guy moving forward.
Andrew on the line. Andrew, your thoughts on Tyrod Taylor? What does he need to do to prove that he's the franchise quarterback here?
Hi, John and Donald. Well, I just wanted to say I really liked his consistency last year. I liked the fact that he was never hurt, played through his groin injuries. But honestly, I thought it was the defense that really was the problem. And I think if he plays at the same level and is just consistent, even though it wasn't great, I think we would really be fine, and I believe in these new coaches, so I think it's more of a I don't want to have any expectations just for this year. I think we should trust Tyrod to continue past this year, and I think it'll work out for the better. I also want to say that I've been a huge fan of your show for 3 or 4 years. I've been a lifelong Bills fan, and I met a first-year student at Duville College, so I've really gotten to know Buffalo and got to go to my first games, and I've loved it. Thanks
great.
So much.
Thanks, Andrew. Where are you from?
I'm from Rochester, but I've always had to work on weekends, never been able to go to games, but this year I got to live in Buffalo, and I loved it.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for coming to Bills games. Good points, I think. You know, Andrew, he's right. I mean, last year's issue wasn't Tyrod Taylor's play, really. It wasn't really it wasn't really the play of the offense, averaging 26 points per game. It was a defensive failure. However, I do acknowledge that Tyrod can be better and needs to be better. There's a lot of people out there who think that this team goes nowhere without, Tom Brady in the pocket, Aaron Rodgers in the pocket. I don't think that's true. I think that's false. I think, You can win with Tyrod Taylor. I think that's been demonstrated. And you can play winning football with Tyrod Taylor. Is he the long-term answer? I don't know, but I think the Bills are really well-positioned to find out this year. And he doesn't have to be Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, one of these guys in order for them to win. I think he can win the way he has played.
I even go back to the early Russell Wilson's years. You know, Russell Wilson wasn't the best throwing quarterback. You know, he's improved. He showed that he had to improve this past season because he had so many injuries he was dealing with, and he showed that he can throw the ball. But his early years, I mean, he did a lot with his feet, and he wasn't asked to do too much for that team, you know, but he would make plays in key parts of that game. He would make the big play. He would find the open receiver, you know, and I think that's why they had so much confidence in him to move forward. They had the best defense in the league, you know, the year they won the Super Bowl. They did have the best defense, and that's what carried them to the Super Bowl and to a Super Bowl win. But he did make big plays. He wasn't the guy that was going to light up the stat sheets. He wasn't that type of guy, but he did make a big play when you needed it. And for me, that's what you want to see out of Tyrod Taylor. You know, make the big play when we need you to make the big play. I don't need you to throw the ball 40 times a game. But if we get into a crucial part of the game or any part of the game, if there is a receiver that is running wide open or even not wide open, we need you to make the throw and trust those receivers to come down with the ball, you know. But in order to trust those receivers, he needs to have those guys on the field, you know. So hopefully those guys can stay on the field and he can really have that trust with them. He can have that trust in his offensive line so that he can sit in the pocket and make those plays.
Look, want to hear from you. What do you need to see from Tyrod Taylor to convince you that he is the guy? Certainly there is a large body of opinion that he might not be the guy. And, you know, as we said, the Bills structured his contract to give themselves an out if, in fact, he isn't the guy. But what are you looking to see in 2017 that you'll feel like this is the guy the Bills can move forward with? Jose in Buffalo. Go ahead, Jose.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And Donald, man, every time, and you never fails. Every time I call in, you always take my point. I was going to say about Russell Wilson, and
my bad.
Do it every time. Never.
Knock it off, Donald.
It's all your fault, Donald. But no, I agree with him 100%. Though, look at Russell. He couldn't throw. I mean, he could throw, but he wasn't that accurate of a passer, and he progressed into it. I just believe this year is the year that, you know, Tyrod just needs to. He can't say nothing about the weapons. I mean, we have – I mean, I believe, in my personal opinion, I believe this is like one of the weapons that we have on this team. People are just sleeping on us. Like, you know, it's just I don't understand. We don't get no credit or nothing. You know, maybe it's because we haven't played the game yet. But just to look at the team that we're putting together right now, people are really sleeping on us. And it is all up to Tyrod. I do believe that he just needs to just – I don't know. It's just he needs that it factor. He doesn't have that it factor yet, and that's just something that just needs to be developed. That's all, I think.
So, Jose, what weapons are you most excited about when you say we have the weapons here? Who are you thinking of?
Me? Zay Jones. I mean, I'm excited about Zay Jones. And believe it or not, Andre Holmes. Yeah. Andre Holmes, just him, you know, if Sammy stays healthy, just the thought of if Sammy stays healthy – and you got to double team him. You got to put a safety over the top for Sammy all day long. You have to, and that just leaves open for people like Holmes, and Jones and Clay. I mean, it's just I'm really looking forward to them two just stepping up. We already know Shady's going to be the man. We already know and then you got to think about it. Our backfield just got 10 times better than last year. Everybody's complaining about Gillislee, but then think about it. We picked up Mike Tolbert and DeMarco. Like, just them two alone, just I take them over any day over at Gillislee, my eyes.
Okay.
You know, so I don't know. Maybe you guys can, you know, help some of this fan base out, some stop griping all the time.
I don't know how to help that, Jose.
The only way we can help that is if the team wins.
Right. It's all about wins. I get that. There's nothing we're going to say from now until September 10th or whatever it is that is going to change people's perceptions.
Right.
And that's the way it should be, as a matter of fact. John in Lackawanna. Hi, John. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Oh, you guys look great. You got to have, like, Donald Jones. You got to have, like, show him catching footballs when he was playing with the Bills.
And the show open? Yeah, I've been lobbying for that. Yeah, we're going to work on that.
What's on your mind today, John?
Well, I was talking about with Tyrod Taylor, tunnel vision.
Tunnel vision or television? What did you say?
Tunnel vision. Football. A lot of quarterbacks that we had in the past had that problem.
I don't know about that, Donald. Yeah. I think he's been asked to kind of keep it simple, I think, and not read the entire field. That's kind of the design, and we'll see if it changes this year. I don't know that it will change, but I don't look, every quarterback looks better when they scan the field and has time to go through a progression of reads. I don't know that that has been a particular problem with Tyrod, do you?
No, I mean, my biggest problem with Tyrod is being late on throws. Throw the ball on time. Now, you say tunnel vision, you know, I guess you can look at it and say he's missed some receivers that are wide open, things like that. So you can say, yeah, he's kind of locking in on one receiver. He didn't see this guy wide open. And that might be the case. I don't study quarterbacks, but I just have the problem with being late on throws. Throw the ball on time, throw receivers open. If he can do that, then he would really look that much better as a quarterback in his passing game.
Throw it into tight coverages.
Take those different risks and just throw it into different coverages. We don't want the interceptions to go up. I don't want him to leave the pocket, though. I want him to have trust in his line, you know, because we know you can run. We know that. But there were times where he would get antsy back there, and you could tell, he wants to get out right now. And he would get out right now. He'd pick up a first down. But who knows? Maybe if you stand in there, you step up in the pocket, you can see a receiver come open, hit them, and now we have a 30-yard gain instead of just a first down, you know? So, I think that's why I say be confident. Be confident. Trust your offensive line. Trust your wide receivers to come down with these passes and put the trust in yourself, and he'll be okay.
Talking about Tyrod Taylor, what does he need to show you to prove he's a franchise quarterback? We will pick up the discussion in a moment. Back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. We're here until 3. Donald Jones and I here every day until 3 o'clock. I think Donald, over the weekend, you were out of town. I bet I ran into almost 10 people who told me they listen and watch the show on a regular basis.
Yeah, I run into people
it
all the time.
It shocks me. Honestly, it does. I'm like, what? What are you doing that time of day?
What shocks me is when people say they watch the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wow. I mean, I know people have TVs on at work and things like that, but it's like, wow, you watch the show? I mean, people are in the car and things, going to lunch and stuff, so you can listen, but to actually watch it, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's what gets me, too. Who are these people? You know, watching, that's good. Thank you for watching.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For listening.
We're not complaining, by the way.
Not complaining at all. We're here every day, noon to 3, except on special occasions when we go the extra mile. Took a lot out of me. I was thinking about that on Saturday, and I was talking to some folks we work with about – clearly, we're sitting out here for 5 hours as we were Friday. That's no big deal. We're not lifting heavy objects
right,
here.
Right.
But there is a process of thinking and trying not to sound like an idiot, which I fail to do sometimes. And you're, like, on guard for 5 hours. It's like, don't say something stupid for five. Can you imagine if you woke up every day and said, okay, for the next 5 hours, I can't say anything stupid.
Yeah,
that's kind of a mental, you know.
And it's like saying things stupid and then, like, stumbling over your words, things like that. You have to be on guard with everything. But it's not an easy thing, but it's not rocket science at the same time.
It's not rocket science.
We're still not complaining.
Not complaining. And another complaint. No, I'm just kidding. Talking about Tyrod Taylor, maybe you want to complain about that. Jerry in Webster, New York. Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Hi, John. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Good.
Listen, I'd love to see Tyrod play 1 year with the kind of defense we had the last year Marone was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, last year's defense looked ridiculous. The Ryan brothers just destroyed our defense. So I'd like to just hear what your thoughts are on that.
I agree. I absolutely agree. I think if the Bills' defense played up to par last year, let's just talk about that, the Bills probably get 9 wins at least, maybe 10.
Maybe 10.
And we're talking, singing a whole different tune here.
A whole different tune. But, you know, if the defense played up to par, everything would be different. Rex Ryan would still be here, and it would just be a total different thing. But, you need your defense to really play up to par. In Buffalo – running a strong run, you need to be able to pass the ball. That's obvious. But a strong running game and a great defense is really the recipe in cold weather cities. You know, like and that's for any city, especially once you get into late in the season and late into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, you really have to have a strong defense, be able to shut teams down. Because, I mean, those games a lot of times are like low scoring games, things like that. And the team that has the better defense will squeak out a win, you know, just by like a field goal or something like that. If this defense can play up to par to what it was that year, then yeah, and yet your offense is still scoring 25, 26 points a game, you're winning games. You should win a lot more games than, I mean, a couple more games at least than you did last year.
Ed calling from Auburn, New York. Hello, Ed. Welcome to the show.
Yes, Chad. How are you doing?
Great. Doing great.
I'm calling this year, and I agree with Donald Jones.
Well, thank you.
About what Tyrod Taylor is going to do by passing the ball to the receivers when they're open more. And also, I want to make a point to you guys about what do you think they should do if the other get okay, say if they're down at the 10, 5-yard line, and they got third down, and they can't get in the end zone. What do you think they have to do on that part to change that around instead of going for a field goal? You know, field goal is better than nothing, but still, what do you think they got to do about turning that ball around, scoring the end zone ball when they get down that far? That's what I'm thinking. What do you think on you guys' part they have to do to do that?
I don't understand the question. Okay, Ed, the question is?
I think he's saying, I'm guessing in the red zone, when it's third down. I mean, if it's third down, you're not kicking a field goal. I guess on fourth down he means.
Yeah.
Do you go for it or do you kick the field goal? You go for it and score the touchdown over kicking the field goal? I mean, that depends on
– what's the game situation? Right. What the time on the clock? Third is it fourth and an inch or fourth and
right.
Goal? That's a lot.
That's a lot of variables. But these are different things that Coach McDermott is going to be faced with once he gets into the season. And just like Peter King said, you know, everything is said the right way right now. The decisions that they have made thus far in free agency and in the draft seem like the right decisions. But those are the situations that we have to see how Coach McDermott handles those once he gets in the game. You know, it's fourth and inches on whatever yard line. Do you go for it? Do you punt? Do you kick a field goal? We'll see.
Hey, our next guest we've been leaning on hard for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Brownie, Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. There's a reason why we lean on him. He's got his pulse on this team and what's going on, and he's going to join us in studio. We'll continue the phone discussion with you as well. We'll talk with Brownie, Chris Brown, about Tyrod Taylor, what he needs to do to be locked in as the franchise quarterback this next season. Chris Brown coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive. Brandon Bean, the Bills' new general manager, says there's going to be an open competition at quarterback at every position, including quarterback. That's what he said this morning on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. It is likely that Tyrod Taylor will be the starter in 2017, but Brandon Bean says you got to earn the right for whatever job you have. The Bills start day one of their 10-day organized team activity tomorrow, a different change in practice, the way practice is conducted. No contact, clearly, but they do have 11-on-11 plays, 7-on-7, 9-on-7. 10 days of OTAs start tomorrow, veterans and rookies here at One Bills Drive. Yesterday, the Bills hired the first member of Brandon Bean's new staff, Joe Shane named. He's the new assistant general manager. Comes from Miami, where he was the Dolphins' director of player personnel for the last 4 years. Promoted internally from assistant director of college scouting there. He also began his NFL tenure with the Carolina Panthers way back in 2000. Out west, the Los Angeles Chargers have released starting guard Orlando Franklin, who just signed a 5-year, $36.5 million deal 2 years ago. Third offensive lineman cut by the Chargers this offseason. They previously had released left tackle Ken Dunlap and right guard DJ Fluker. Stanley Cup playoffs, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals coming up tonight, 8 o'clock. The Senators and Penguins in Pittsburgh. Ottawa leads that series 1-0. Tomorrow, game three of the Western Conference Finals with the Anaheim Ducks traveling to Nashville to play there. That series tied at one win apiece. The Bisons open up a 7-game homestand tonight, swept in a doubleheader yesterday by Lehigh Valley, 7-2 and 1-0. The Bisons now in a 7-game homestand, and the herd calls it the No Rain Guarantee Week at the Coca-Cola Field Ballpark downtown. Tonight, it is Syracuse 6:05 first pitch. Jared Grubbe gets the start on the mound for the herd. Bison's home Friday against Pawtucket, and Pawtucket will have Red Sox pitcher David Price on the mound to face the herd. Hmm. Yeah, right? That's enough to get your attention. Yeah. David Price pitching.
No rain guarantee. That is risky.
Yeah. Why don't they do that every week? Just keep doing it. No rain. Guarantee it. Make it happen. Chris Brown. Chris Brown in studio with us as we start hour three already of the show. Donald, we're in the home stretch already. A little bit different than Friday. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. In studio with us, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. Chris, today seems a lot calmer than last week, right? When you're looking for a GM, and then when the team hires a GM Friday, it was, you know, we had a lot going on here. Today seems
well,
like
yeah, rookie mini camp on top of that. It was Friday. Yeah, because, you know, you look at that day, and you know it's a busy day when, you know, you're not at your desk for about 6 hours because you're running around, press conference, practice, interviews, all that stuff. So for, you know, people like our positions, when you're not at your desk because you're covering other things, you know it's going to be a busy day. Then you have to go back to your desk,
right?
And then the work starts.
Or if you're chained to your desk, this desk like Donald and I were. Hey, Brandon Bean appeared on the radio this morning on our flagship radio in Buffalo, WGR, talked about a variety of things, including the team's commitment to Tyrod Taylor as a starter. Here's what the GM had to say.
I'm new here. I met Tyrod the other day. Obviously, I've seen Tyrod on film. If we walked out there today, I would say Tyrod's probably the starter, but we haven't even gone through OTAs. You know, we got the young guy, Peterman. I thought he did some nice things this weekend at the mini camp. You know, Cardell Jones has a, you know, a huge arm and talent. I don't know anything about him personally. TJ Yates is, you know, has done some starting in his career. So there are some guys on this roster, you know, I'm for open competition. Sean is. Earn the right, you know, for whatever job you have, whatever position you're trying to get. So, you know, I'm not in the business of handing out positions, you know, on May the 15th. We got a long way to go. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about the challenge. So that's what I'm saying. You know, I got a lot of belief in Tyrod, but, you know, we got other guys that are going to challenge for that as well.
Brandon Bean, Bills general manager, speaking this morning. As usual, Chris, not just in Buffalo, but whenever anybody mentions quarterbacks, alarm bells go off. And some people interpret that as a lack of a vote of confidence in Tyrod Taylor. Maybe he won't be the starter. That's unlikely this year, isn't it?
I think that's a little strong. Yeah, to me, I think Tyrod's your guy. This year, unquestionably, unless, you know, he goes completely in the tank, and I don't think anybody anticipates that happening. The guy works too hard. He's too devoted to his craft. I think he's committed to being better in year three as a starter. Granted, it's going to be a new system, but it's one he's got a measure of familiarity with, having operated in it, at least in a practice setting, in a preseason setting in 2014 with Kubiak and Dennison down there in Baltimore. You know, I think this falls in line with how Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott want to build this thing. Build it the right way by making everybody earn their stripes. Everybody comes in with a clean slate. And if you can say that the leader of your football team, the quarterback, is no different than anybody else, I think that makes everybody else sit up in their chair a little bit straighter and realize no job is safe here.
Yeah.
Now, truth be told, I think, you know,
the players know.
We're probably talking about, what, a 0.5% chance that Tyrod's not the starting quarterback come September? I mean, I think people know that. I think people know LeSean McCoy is going to be the feature back in the offense. Mm-hmm. But I think because of the way that these two men want to build this thing, that's the right thing to say at this point in time, unquestionably.
Chris, our Twitter poll deals with this, and I want to get you involved in this as well. So what does Tyrod have? Look, and there is skepticism, and it's honest skepticism, and I understand all that. But I'm trying to get a sense from people is what do you need to see? And that's our Twitter poll. What does Tyrod Taylor need to do in 2017 to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback? That's our Twitter poll, and it's been up for a couple of hours now. And more than half the folks, 57% responding, say he needs to win 10 or more games. 19% say he needs to lead some fourth-quarter comebacks. 16% say he needs to put the Bills in the top half of the league in passing offense. 8% say something else. Do you have any thoughts on that, Chris? You don't have to be limited by that list. Maybe there's something else you would like to see?
We had Peter King on before you say what you'd like to see. We had Peter King on. He said he would like to see Tyrod play 16 games, take command of the offense, you know, be the leader of this team. 67% completion percentage. Did he say anything else?
Fewer than 10 interceptions, which he has done for 2 years.
He's done that already, so I really wouldn't worry about that all that much. I mean, I guess if the passing increases, which I don't know necessarily that it will.
The number of pass attempts.
Yeah. I mean, he's been down near the bottom of the league the last 2 years in pass attempts per game. It was like 27.1 in 2015, and I think it was incrementally higher this past year. Might have gotten to 28, might not have. I'm not 100% sure on that. But, You know, you look at where this offense is headed, and I think it's going to unquestionably be rooted in the run game. That's not to say they're not going to use the passing game to try to make big plays and score points. I think there'll be more downfield passing this year, provided Sammy Watkins is on the field and ready to roll and stays healthy the majority of the year, too, kind of like we saw in 15 when he averaged more yards per attempt. I don't know if you're getting a 67% completion percentage. That seems like a little bit high to me. He's hovered around 61, 62 in his 2 years here with the Bills. I would be happy with 64, 65, somewhere in there. And I think that will happen if he can find the middle of the field more consistently. I was very encouraged by his performance in the Dolphins game in week 16, you know, when he staged that comeback effort, had his first 300-yard passing game. He was finding Charles Clay and other targets over the middle the most consistently I have ever seen him in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was really anxious to see him in week 17, and we know what happened there, and he didn't play in the game and whatever. I wanted to see him do it again, and we didn't get that opportunity. So that's a part of his game that I'm really looking forward to seeing. Can he now, in his third year as a starter, use the entire field? You know, can he work between the tackles, even though the passing lanes for a 6'1 quarterback probably aren't always crystal clear?
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the game that I want to see better from him. You know, there are still times when he gets crossed up, and every defense is going to cross up a quarterback once in a while. I think for him it might have happened more than even he would have liked. But I think you have to look at some of the things that compromised his effectiveness. You know, he got sacked 48 times last year.
Yeah, a lot.
That's a lot. Not all of that's on the men in front of him. He was clearly responsible for a good chunk of those because of delayed decision-making. You know, Pro Football Focus made it well-publicized last year that snap to release for him was one of the longest periods of time in terms of seconds. Brady's usually near the top of the league, around 2-point-something seconds. Tyrod was near 3.5. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is when you're talking about protection and the best pass rushers in the league. So you got to take fewer sacks, got to get it out quicker with more consistency, work the entire field, and I think completion percentage up around 65, and I think that's a nice step forward. You're probably still not where you want to be yet, but you're at least on the road there.
Yeah.
And I think that's realistic for him.
You nailed it when you talked about the Dolphins game, the Christmas Eve game. And even if you look at the numbers from that game, 67% completion rate, very high. And this was, you know, obviously a late season game.
And the Dolphins wanted that game because they were still trying to clinch their playoff berth and put Buffalo in the rearview mirror.
Three touchdowns, no interceptions, had a long one, 53-yarder, 118 quarterback rating. That was the game. If that's Tyrod Taylor now, then, by the way, his last start, you can win a lot with that. Oh, by the way, they lost that game in overtime.
Well,
which it was like the
because they had 10 men on the field.
I know why.
Murph, can you bring up his stats from the Seattle game? I mean, the Miami and the Seattle games were like the two games that
Seattle 71% completion, one touchdown, one interception, a 91 quarterback rating. You know, over 100. Again, passer rating is what it is. But last three starts for Tyrod last year was over 100. Maybe he's getting there. You know, some of our callers say he's already there. I don't know. I'd like to see more. I'd like to see quicker decision making. I'd like to see the ball come out on time more often. But maybe he's there.
Here's the question I have for everybody: If the defense comes through for you last year on a consistent basis, and this team is in the playoffs, scoring 25, 26 points a game, your defense can shut teams down. Are we still talking about Tyrod the same way?
No,
probably not. Probably not. You're probably looking at those last three starts in a whole different light because the numbers are good.
It was probably a fourth start against the terrible Jets team.
Well, let's not forget this. I mean, the receiver position was a revolving door last year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether you're talking about Sammy Watkins missing half the season, Robert Woods out of the lineup for a couple of games and then coming back, picking up a receiver a month into the season in Justin Hunter, having to get adjusted to him. You know, it kept going. I mean, it never ended. I mean, Des Lewis was on the field at the end of the year after spending more than half the year on the practice squad. It was just this constant turnover. And, you know, you could talk about running plays and being a timing offense all you want. There are different nuances to the way receivers run routes. I mean, Donald can probably speak to this better than I can, but nobody really runs routes the same way. Nobody takes maybe necessarily as many steps. Guys' legs are different lengths. Guys have different routes that they prefer, you know, if they have option routes and choice routes and things like that. You got a different guy out there and you've been throwing to him for 3 days.
Right.
It's not going to all gel together in the speed of a regular season game. And I think he kind of traversed a lot of those potential setbacks pretty well. I mean, considering the circumstances. So, you know, you look at the 48 sacks he took and it's like, oh, he hesitated here, he hesitated there. Well, maybe that's because the guy that he's counting on to run a route and be in a spot isn't there. And now he's got to pull it down and look for the next guy, and by then it's too late. Yeah.
Chris Brown in studio with us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. We'll take your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A lot of talk about Tyrod Taylor today. Steve in Amherst. Go ahead, Steve. You're on the air with us.
I got two quick points to make.
Sure.
The first one, when the Ravens won their first Super Bowl, you had Trent Dilfer at quarterback. And Trent Dilfer and Tyrod admittedly have different styles, but all they had to do was be efficient and let the defense win it for them. Same thing happened last year with the Broncos, or year before, I beg your pardon, with the Broncos. The second point I want to get to is the year we got Jim Kelly in here, he did not lead this team to the Super Bowl because they had to fill in so many things and upgrade the talent pool. That is where I believe we are right now.
So is your position, Steve, to continue to let Tyrod grow? I mean, is that where you're going with this?
Who's the better option?
You're not going to get an argument from me.
we're not just talking.
I'm just curious where you're headed. I felt that was the way you were going there.
And it is that Tyrod is efficient.
Yeah.
Last year, he spent a lot of time running for his life. And in spite of that, still got sacked, what was it, 48 times, 49 times?
Mm-hmm. 48, yeah.
You know, Steve, the thing is, we're not just talking about this year for Ty. I mean, I think everyone up here believes Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starting quarterback this year. We're talking about beyond that, you know.
He's not going to be Peyton Manning in his prime. He's not going to be a Marino. All he has to do is be efficient.
Right.
You like to okay, thanks, Steve. I'd like to see him better than efficient.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him play well,
and I'm sure he'd like to be better than that too.
Yeah, I think he's played pretty well for a couple of years as a starter.
Yeah,
there are, you know, we've talked about it at length on this show about where his strengths and weaknesses might be, but he can play better, and I hope he does. Right. And I think we talked about the Miami game, the end of last season. There are some signs that maybe he is on that upward trend right now.
Look, I want to see him be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Now, in the same breath. For me, it's just make the big play when the team needs you to make the big play. You know, find guys that are open, hit guys, like throw on time. Things that we talked about earlier, throw on time, throw receivers open. Just make the big play when the team needs you to make the big play. Be more confident in making certain throws in the red zone. Things like that. Like, man, you can hit that receiver.
Yeah,
pull the trigger. Yeah, I mean, he would take a step forward. But for me, you know, if the defense improves and you have Tyrod Taylor making just those the small steps forward, I think he's your guy moving forward.
Chris Brown's with us. We're going to talk a little bit more about Tyrod. There are other things to talk about, Brownie, and we want to get you in on that, including the rookie minicamp. But here's Dan in Angola. Hi, Dan. Welcome. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. My thing with Tyrod, I think if he proves pass per attempt, you know,
yards per attempt.
Passing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yards per attempt. And, his throw out there, but, you know, when he's leading a guy, get it out there. There's a few times that he was late with the ball. You know, he proves that. And last year, when you talk about last year, I think it was the defense that let us down. I mean, if they were anything as a better – like they used to be, we probably would have had 10 games.
Sure. Tyrod's yards per attempt was 8.0 2 years ago, 6.9
right.
last year. 8.0 is really good.
Right.
Seven is usually the benchmark.
And it was compromised by Sammy's absence from the offense.
Right.
I don't think there's any secret about that. So that's one of the bigger reasons why that number went down. And, you know, Donald's talking about when the plays are there to be made, he's got to make them. I think there's a trust factor that was also at work last year, too. Again, with the revolving door of receiver candidates that were running out there on the field every Sunday due to injuries and other circumstances. So hopefully the group that is in-house now can still be that group come September in large part, you know, once you get down to 53. So he has a firm working grasp with each of these guys and implicitly trusts them when it comes to game times and things count.
Take one more call for Chris on Tyrod. Manny in Hamburg. Hi, Manny. You're on the air with us.
Hi, John. Thank you. First of all, I want to say I'm one of the guys that watches you guys. And a lot of work to do, and my wife is getting kind of angry. Yes, and I have to do all these things, and here I sit for 3 hours and watch you guys.
That's all right, because the sun is out till 8:30 now, so you can get your work done after this.
That's right.
3 o'clock.
The reason I called was I agree with not the last caller, but the one before that, about Trent Dilfer. I don't think we need Tom Brady here to win games, but it would be good if we could. But what bothers me is, like, it took, how many games did it take before Watkins actually started getting the ball when he had to publicly complain that he wasn't getting the ball? And then also, they didn't discover Clay till the last two or three games. Yeah. Is that Tyrod Taylor's problem, or is that coaching saying don't throw to this guy when it's a certain time or whatever? And to me, if what I like to see Tyrod to do to be a franchise quarterback is, bottom line, be successful. It's all I care about, and I'll listen to what you guys got to say. Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that's something we'll ever know if we don't know what he was asked to do last year.
I'll say this. There were a lot of times Charles Clay was running open.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know where he was in the progression, whether he was option one, two, or three. And I think also it's a maturation process, I think, that we witnessed last year in Tyrod. I don't think it was any secret that a lot of his completions went to the wide parts of the field. And work in the middle of the field became the next area of his game that had to improve. And I think we saw clear signs of that down the stretch last year, most notably, as I mentioned earlier, in the Dolphins game, where he found Clay consistently in that game. So I think now you say, okay, he took that step last year. Does that continue? Is that going to be a jumping off point going into this year, or are we going to take another step back because it's a new system and guys are running different routes and the plays are different and this and that? I don't know, but you'd like to think it could be a jumping off point for him, and now he can improve that even more and then take another aspect of his game, completion percentage, and maybe raise that up a few notches. Sacks taken, lower that. You know, if he feels comfortable with that work in the middle of the field now, based on the experience he had in those last quarter of the season last year, you know, hopefully that box can get checked, and now he can focus on other things.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com in studio with us. Chris, we had a chance to look at some of the rookies over the weekend, the rookie minicamp. Anybody stand out to you? Anybody you like that you saw?
Well, I mean, I was, you know, you're kind of drawn to the draft choices,
right,
and there were only six of them. And I thought it was very telling that Deion Dawkins was lining up at left tackle in the rookie minicamp. I mean, clearly he was the most talented lineman, you know, in the rookie minicamp. We're talking about tryout players, undrafted players, draft choices. So I shouldn't say I was surprised to see him there, but I found it interesting because I think a lot of people anticipate this is a guy that's going to compete at the right tackle position. Why not just start him there? But I think putting him in the left side was a clear indication of the coaching staff's thoughts on him, and he was fine over there.
Yeah.
Again, going against rookies, undrafted guys, but moving him in a pass set was impossible. He was he was extraordinary in terms of his anchor and just holding his ground. Nobody moved him in reverse at all the entire weekend.
And I know there's others to talk about, but I told Donald he impressed me too. And you know, I think, you know, you think, well, is he a guard or a tackle? I'm not going to say that question has been answered for me, but almost. He looks like a tackle to me. He looks like he has the right length and certainly sufficient, if not a really good amount of athleticism to play a tackle,
or
left.
I don't think photos, you know, after a guy gets drafted, you see pictures of him and everything. I don't think photos really do him justice. When you see him in person and his body type, even then you're saying, is this guy going to be able to move?
Right. Yeah.
But he can move.
He can
move. He's got good feet, and I think he is tackle quality at the NFL level. So it's exciting to see because it's another option for this coaching staff to employ or to put into the mix to challenge for roles.
Can I, and Donald, you want to jump in on this too? The guy that I saw line up across from him a lot that impressed me, undrafted, Ian Seau, did he get your attention at all? I thought, man, what a great combination of athleticism. He just doesn't have, you know, he's a classic tweener. He's not big enough really to be a defensive right. end, and he's not quite quick enough maybe to play outside linebacker in a 4-3, but I like what I saw from Seau over the weekend.
Yeah.
A little bit of
I don't know why, but I think more of my attention, at least on the defensive side of the ball, gravitated toward the DBs because the DBs and the receivers get to do the most football-like stuff that mm-hmm. they would do in a normal football setting where
right.
these linemen really can't have full contact, all that stuff. And so I'm always left wondering, am I really seeing true ability here?
Right.
And so I always try to take the lineman stuff with a grain of salt, and by that token, I usually divert more of my attention towards
yeah.
DBs and receivers, and that's really where my attention was over the weekend. So I can't really speak to say. I don't think I watched him enough to really say. That being said, I did like a couple of things that I saw from some of the defensive backs. I mean, White, you know, obviously moves exceptionally well. I think the thing that I liked about White the most was his patience. He's not a guy that's going to jump a receiver or commit to his hip flip prematurely. Zay Jones tried to get him on a double move. He didn't bite. You know, these are things that, you know, you expect almost sometimes out of a young player. And to not see that from him was encouraging. And, you know, there were some other guys that made some plays too. I don't have my notes in front of me that I took when I was out there. But I did like Zay Jones too an awful lot. He just looks the part. I mean, it took me right back to the Senior Bowl when I watched him all week.
Right.
Just looks the part, executes, very smooth. There's just this confident air about him, just the way he carries himself. You know, it's not too big for him.
Going back to Deion Dawkins, knowing that he played left tackle and he played left guard at Temple, and knowing now we all get caught up and we'll say, you know, Cordy Glenn, we believe, is our left tackle. But you know, sometimes we forget this is a new coaching staff,
right?
A new GM. So could there be a chance that because he's played in the league, they can say, you know what, we can flip Cordy over to the right tackle and just put Deion in that left because that's where he's played in the past and he's comfortable there?
I guess you can't rule it out based on the newness of everything here. And, you know, this is a guy that they clearly liked,
mm-hmm.
A guy that Juan Castillo liked a lot, according to Coach McDermott. Cordy Glenn is making left tackle money, though.
Yeah.
And money usually does determine some things like this.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a lot to put on Deion Dawkins' plate, too. It's like, hey, you're a rookie. You know, I mean, Cordy Glenn came in as a second-round pick starter right away at left tackle. So I'm not saying it's not possible. We'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, when OTAs start, if he's still sitting over there, might be something to
get
it.
Your attention. Nathan Peterman clearly was the best quarterback here this weekend, and he did okay, right?
Yeah, well, I think you almost expected that.
Yeah.
You saw that. We saw that at the Senior Bowl, too, just real quick on the uptake. It was very interesting to me that talking to Zay Jones, who worked with him at the Senior Bowl,
right.
he said it was like the Senior Bowl all over again. Nate's calling the plays in the huddle confidently. Zay said he had to slow him down one time because he's calling the plays so quick in the huddle, he missed his part of the call and had to have him say it again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just speaks to Peterman's football IQ, and that's why I think he comes in here with a very high floor, which is a good thing. I think what's going to be debated is where is his ceiling,
right?
Because the physical gifts are not elite. They're good enough. How far are they going to be able to take him with his football smarts, I think, is the long-range question.
A couple of interesting tight ends, undrafted rookies, Keith Tobridge from Louisville and Jason Kroom from Tennessee, both of whom look the part. I know you spent a little time talking with Jason Kroom, right?
Kroom, yeah. Actually, my intern's got a story up on him today because he spent his first 2 years in college with Nate Peterman at Tennessee. They played together there. And I even asked Peterman on Friday, you know, I said, is it hard not to kind of have your eyes drift over to 88 out there? Because, you know, is there still some chemistry there? He goes, oh, there's definitely chemistry. And matter of fact, those two guys threw down in Atlanta earlier in the week prior to coming up to rookie minicamp just right. to kind of get reacquainted, so to speak. Those guys even played in an all-star game in high school.
Really?
So they've known each other for a really long time. They feel there's some chemistry out there on the field. And Kroom is clearly the more athletic receiving type tight end than Towbridge is, the Louisville kid, who's more of the inline blocker, you know, five-yard plant route underneath kind of tight end guy. He'll be short yardage kind of receiver, dump off safety valve type option. I'm not trying to shortchange Towbridge. I just think up against Kroom, who's a former receiver, there's just more athletic ability in Kroom's closet than there is in Towbridge's. But I think Towbridge brings you a different skill set. He's 262 pounds. He's going to move people off the line, and he can help you a little bit in the passing game. Not quite the same type of player. So it's going to be pick what you want there. Who's on your roster that's got time in the league? You know, O'Leary, you know, Clay. Who's your third guy? You know, we'll wait and see. But I think you've got to decide what you feel your roster still needs. And with two fullbacks on the roster, it makes you wonder, do they go for the more athletic type instead of the inline guy? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Tomorrow begins the first of 10 OTAs, organized team activities, over the next month or so. What are you looking for? What do you expect to see over the next month?
Really, I want to see where people are lining up.
Yeah.
Who is battling for what roles? Where does this defensive staff see Preston Brown? Where is Reggie Ragland when he's completely medically cleared? I know he's cleared a couple of hurdles here in the last week. I don't know if he's ready for full football activity yet. But when he gets back into the mix, where is he lining up? Where is Preston Brown lining up? Who do they feel could be a potential fit for the weak side linebacker position? We know Ramon Humber is in that mix, but does Matt Milano factor in? Does Tanner Vallejo fit in there? On the offensive side of the ball, is Deion Dawkins a left tackle or a right tackle? Where is Shontrell Henderson? How is he coming along? I just saw him the other day. The guy's fit as a fiddle right now.
Yeah.
Looks in the best shape I've seen him in a long time. So it'd be nice to get an update on him. But I think there's a lot of roles that could shift and change because you got a whole new coaching staff looking at these guys, and they're going to have their preferences, which are going to differ because of the new schemes. And just because they're different from the previous coaching staff.
It's so hard in mini camps, though. They move these guys around so much in mini camp.
And in year one, even more than, you know, year two, when people have kind of settled into roles.
Right, exactly.
So that's really going to be the thing. Where are they lining up? And, you know, we'll have all that covered on the website.
I was going
to say,
later in the week, you'll have total OTA coverage. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Chris, thanks. Thanks for spending time with us today. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. More talk about Tyrod Taylor. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to your phone calls. What do you think needs to happen for Tyrod to be the true franchise quarterback of the future here in Buffalo? Plus, fake news, real news coming up when we return. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Yep, we're back. John Murphy, Donald Jones here until 3 o'clock today, talking about the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, told our flagship in Buffalo today there will be an open competition at every position, including quarterback. Do we believe that? I mean, yeah, it's open. If Tyrod doesn't play well, he'll be replaced. But that's what we're talking about, and it kind of feeds into the narrative that Tyrod has more to prove. Many people believe he does. I'd like to see him get better. What do you think? What does Tyrod Taylor have to do to prove to you that he is the franchise quarterback? It's our Twitter poll. Most of you say he needs to win 10 or more games, but what else do you think? Give us a call, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550, or via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Khalid calling from Atlanta. Khalid, what do you think?
Hi. So I was listening to you guys from earlier, and you guys were talking about his completion rates and how his percentages are always actually better than most people in the league today. So my question is, he's clearly not the problem, and I think a lot of us have so far focused on him so much that we kind of forgot to look at what the real issue was. I mean, you guys just talked about the Miami game when we had 10 people on the field. That is not really a Tyrod thing, if you look at it. So if he's not the problem, I believe that we can always make him a part of the solution. My other thing was that, I'm sorry Chris left, there's an undrafted rookie who played in the Army, I think, he's a wide receiver or something like that. How will that pan out? Because I kind of hear that they have to sort of be 2 years before they can actually play. So I don't know how that will work
Air Force, Jalen Robinette from the Air Force Academy. Yeah, I saw him over the weekend. I don't know what the restrictions would be. I wouldn't count on him to you know, he was in as a tryout player and he is not on the roster, so it's not an issue yet. If they plan on signing him, I don't know, but he was in on a tryout over the weekend, Jalen Robinette from the Air Force Academy. And you're right, Khalid, about look, the problems were defensively, but we bring up Tyrod because it is the focal point for many people, the quarterback. It is what the general manager, Brandon Bean, talked about open competition, and I know many people like to talk about that. You know, how can the Bills get better? What can Tyrod Taylor do to be better? And I think that's why it's a good discussion topic.
You know, Tyrod, this offense was a top 10 scoring offense last year. So, yeah, the defense was – probably the biggest reason why this team had the record that it had last year. But even though they were a top 10 scoring offense, they were also like 30th or 31st in the passing offense, you know, and you don't want to be 30th or 31st in the passing offense. You don't want that disparity to be that big. Like, you want it to be a little bit more balanced, you know, even if you're at number 20 in the passing offense, I'm okay with that. Top 10 in scoring, number one in rushing, you're number 20, you know, 15 to 20 in passing, I'm okay with that. Not 31st. I mean, that's not good at all, you know. So you need that to improve. And in terms of the quarterback himself, yeah, we know the weapons around him need to be healthy. They need to be on the field. I think if the weapons are on the field consistently throughout the course of the season and he plays a full season, then, you know, that number might not be as bad because he's going to trust all of these guys that he's been playing with since right now, you know, since mini camp, since, you know, after mini camps, they're going to go off and wherever, Atlanta, and throw together different thing. I mean, he needs to have those guys on the field. Overall, for me, I don't want to get into the fourth quarter of a game and question if Tyrod Taylor can pull this team back. You know, I'm not saying that he's going to be Tom Brady. I'm not saying that he's going to be, you know, any of the rest of these top Aaron Rodgers, you know, but when we get into the fourth quarter of the game, I want to be able to say we have Tyrod Taylor. You know, Tyrod Taylor can pull us back. And I don't think we can say that right now. You know, we can't because of different reasons, because he might not have Sammy Watkins on the field. I don't want to have that thought in the back of my mind. You know, we have to be able to run the ball to win games. Yeah, I think we need to be able to run the ball, but late in the game, I want to be able to look at Tyrod Taylor and say, man, we know we can come back because we have this quarterback. And once you can say that, then you can say he's a true franchise quarterback. He is that guy. I don't think you can say that right now.
Time now to play Fake News, Real News, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. All the fake news out there. We like to separate the wheat from the chaff here on the show and kind of go through, you know, what's fake, what's real. Donald, are you ready to play along?
I'm ready.
You can play along at home if you like. Fake news, real news. Just yell it out when we read something. You can just yell out fake or real. Do it in the car if you have to. Mitchell Trubisky, obviously second overall pick in the draft.
Second overall
Chicago
pick.
Chicago Bears. Yep. There was an analyst, a football guy, John Moon Mullen from CSN Chicago, wrote a mini camp recap who said that he talked with three NFL scouts. Two AFC scouts revealed that they had the highest grade on Mitchell Trubisky that they have had on any quarterback over the last 6 years. Higher than Jameis Winston, higher than Marcus Mariota, higher grade than Cam Newton, higher than Russell Wilson, higher than Andrew Luck, higher than Derek Carr, higher than Carson Wentz. Really, Mitchell Trubisky, higher grade. What does that mean? But is that real? Mitchell Trubisky is a better NFL prospect than, say, Andrew Luck or Jameis Winston? Fake? Real? I'd say real. The grades are one thing, pre-draft grades. But is he going to be that player, the guy who is as good as some of those guys, Luck, Winston, some of the others? I don't know about that. I think the report is probably real. Some scouts probably looked at Trubisky and probably like a pocket passer, big, strong guy with a quality arm and thought, well, he's better than some of these guys. But I'll say it's real, but I don't know if it forecasts imminent or immediate success in the NFL. Donald, fake or real?
I'm going to go fake on this one. And I'm going to say fake because, you know, you look at a guy like Jameis Winston. You look at Andrew Luck when he was at Stanford. You know, they won a lot of games. Like, you know, being a prospect is one thing in terms of accuracy and all of that stuff that comes with playing quarterback. As we're talking about Tyrod Taylor, you know, this guy's accurate. He can make these throws. I get that. But the one thing that you can't measure is a kid's heart, you know, and you definitely can't measure it when the kid has only played one season as a starting quarterback. You know, Jameis Winston was a guy who won championships in high school. He's a guy who won national championship. He was a guy who was the leader of that team, regardless of the things that he did off the field. You knew he was the leader of that team. You could see his character. And I think that's something that you have to take into consideration when you're talking about the quarterback, the leader of your franchise. And when we talk about that it factor, you have to be the leader, you know, and you haven't seen that from Mitchell Trubisky. You know, all you can see from him is how accurate he is and things like that. But is he a winner? That's what we don't know. Donald, so I'm going to go fake.
All right. Here's a rookie quarterback question in part two of Fake News, Real News. DeShone Kizer going to Cleveland, right? The Notre Dame quarterback. There was a story over the weekend that dealt with Kizer and what the plans are for him. Sashi Brown, the Cleveland Browns GM, right? Is that his title?
Yeah.
He said, I think ideally we'd be able to come in and give DeShone some time. Hugh Jackson talked about this as well, not preventing him from going out there and doing anything, but making sure he understands that he doesn't have to feel like he has pressure on him to be the week one starter or even the 2017 starter at all at some point. So that is part two of Fake News, Real News. Kizer, rookie quarterback. Will he be the first rookie quarterback to start a game this year? Fake or real? I'll say fake. I think somebody else will. What do you think, Donald?
I'll say real on this one. I think when you look at the rest of the quarterbacks, the guys that, well, unless it's Trubisky, I think, you know, the Houston is kind of set with Tom Savage being their guy. Unless he is terrible in camp, he's going to be their starter. And they want to just bring Watson along. I think Pat Mahomes, Alex Smith is their guy right now. I don't know about next year, but Alex Smith is their guy right now. And so when you look at, Cleveland, they don't have their guy. They don't even know who is going to be their quarterback at all. You know, you have a couple of different Cody Kessler. You have Brock Osweiler on the roster, but you're not sure neither one of those guys. So I think it's more of an open competition in camp for that Cleveland starting quarterback spot.
All right. And finally, in fake news, real news, talking a little bit about the rest of the NFL here. The Patriots have the best secondary in the NFL. They have added, obviously, Stephon Gilmore. We're all familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But do the Patriots, are they the best secondary in the NFL, fake or real? I say fake. I'm going with Seattle. I still think Seattle has the best secondary. To say that, you know, Stephon Gilmore, I lost a lot of regard for him this past year, the way he played for the Bills. I think he's probably an upgrade for New England. But the best secondary in the NFL in New England, I'm going to say fake. I don't agree with that, Donald.
I go real on this one. I think that Seattle is still a good secondary, but they are getting older. They are, you know, and they don't have the other corner opposite Richard Sherman like they used to.
Well,
that was the biggest thing.
Okay.
They don't have the other corner. Now, you look at the Patriots secondary. I mean, Stephon Gilmore, for me, he's a good cover cornerback. I don't know about the tackles and all of that stuff. We'll see if Bill Belichick allows that stuff to happen. He'll probably make more tackles than he did last year in that defense. You look at Malcolm Butler on the other side, both of those corners are good corners for them. You look at the back end of the safeties, Devin McCourty is one of the better safeties in the game. You know, he makes plays. He makes, you know, he catches interceptions for them. And then the other side, I believe it's Chung, unless they end up with
Patrick,
like
Chung, Daron Harmon.
Or Harmon, yeah. You know, both of those guys that made plays, they might be the best secondary in the game.
I'd say fake. You know, you got Richard Sherman, and right, you wonder about the other corner, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas in Seattle. Mm-hmm. What about Denver? Aqib Talib, Chris Harris, T.J. Ward.
True.
That's a good secondary.
That is a good secondary.
And I don't have the same sort of regard for Malcolm Butler that a lot of people do. I think, you know, he made a big play in the Super Bowl that cemented his legacy as one of the all-time greats. But is he one of the best corners in the game, Malcolm Butler? I don't know. Maybe makes the top 10. What do you think?
He's not one of the best corners in the game. He does play well in big moments, and I know he shut down Antonio Brown on a couple of occasions. So, you know, I think he's one of the better, but not the best corners.
One of the best. Fake news, real news, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's artisan cheese. Back with more in a moment. John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
Presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater. The preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. Peter King joined the show from Sports Illustrated and MMQB.SI.com. And he talked about the post that he put up today, Monday Morning Quarterback, about the relationship between Bills head coach Sean McDermott and the new GM, Brandon Bean.
We've got young blood. We've got two guys out to prove themselves. We don't have the old recycled coach slash, you know, long-time GM either being recycled or, you know, basically a veteran guy who is, you know, on his second or third team. I mean, both these guys basically are hungry to prove themselves as really competent, you know, both as a coach and franchise builders. And that's one of the reasons why, look, I think both decisions have been greeted with acclaim, and well, they should.
That sounds good. Peter King, right? Good things to say about the new coach and GM.
I mean, good things. It's not any recycled. It's new blood, man.
New blood. Yeah. Hey, thanks for our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. Our Entercom board op, Brayton Wilson. Production assistants from J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Honiter, James Donovan, our producer, Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.